are 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Do you like your web history being seen and sold to advertisers? No? Me neither. Get ExpressVPN right now at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. And while the latest news from Hurricane Ian continues to be devastating, obviously the strike by Hurricane Ian on the west coast of Florida has had some dire consequences. Some hundreds of people apparently missing. The Florida government is doing an excellent job of ensuring that the resources have been brought to bear. You have emergency teams that are on the ground essentially right away looking for people, trying to help out any survivors. The state itself is mobilizing, not just in terms of state resources, but also in terms of private charities. Pretty much every private institution in Florida has been mobilizing, trying to gather food and resources for people who are out of power on the west coast of Florida. The storm, Hurricane Ian, continues to actually swirl around off now the east coast of the United States. It's going to make landfall again in South Carolina. It may, in fact, be a hurricane at that point. According to the Washington Post, Ian is a hurricane once again, a storm system that re-intensified Thursday evenings. It turns toward South Carolina with 85-mile-per-hour winds, and what the National Hurricane Center called life-threatening flooding and storm surge. It's set for yet another U.S. landfall, this time near Charleston around midday on Friday. In its wake, Ian left a path of devastation in Florida, though much of the state is still making sense of the exact toll after rescue missions began on Thursday. In an evening briefing, Governor Ron DeSantis said that he expected to have mortality from the hurricane. There had been more than 700 confirmed rescues thus far. He also spoke of indescribable damage, including buildings picked up off their foundations by the intense winds. More than 2.1 million customers remain without power in Florida. In Virginia, Georgia, North Carolina, and South Carolina, governors declared states of emergency ahead of Ian's expected shift in their direction. Ron DeSantis yesterday visited the Hurricane Relief Center in Florida, and here is what he had to say.
There's going to be a lot of people that need help, and I know you guys have been on the front lines of doing that, so I just want to say thank you. We'll be back. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll probably be back, you know, every day for a while, and so we're here to help, and when you guys need anything, he knows to call. All these other people know, just give us a call, and I'll make sure Kevin gets it done. So thanks, everybody. Appreciate it.
As we say, there is now an attempt being made to rescue people who are stuck in places like Fort Myers, people who stayed in their homes because they couldn't leave or because they made a bad decision to stay in their homes. There's also an attempt to get the power back on because, again, a couple million people do not have power at this point. Governor DeSantis said they absolutely expect to have mortality again. Nobody knows the death toll at this point from this storm. For his part, President Biden did a good thing yesterday. He was asked about Florida and Governor DeSantis and his relationship with DeSantis. He was visiting FEMA. And he said that it's not worth politicizing all of this, that he and Governor DeSantis are working together, which is exactly what the president is supposed to say.
How would you describe your relationship and your conversation with Governor DeSantis?
It's totally irrelevant, but I'll answer it, okay? In fact, very fine. He complimented me. He thanked me for the immediate response we had. He told me how much he appreciated it, said he was extremely happy with what was going on. This is not about whether or anything having to do with our disagreements politically. This is about saving people's lives, homes, and businesses. That's what this is about. And so I've talked to him four or five times already, and it's not a matter of my disagreements with him on other items.
That is absolutely correct from the president, and good for him. He couldn't resist a little bit of a jab about climate change, because no one on the left can resist a jab about climate change, despite the fact that, once again, there's no evidence that hurricanes have become either more common or more intense around Florida thanks to climate change. That is not according to me. That is according to the head of the National Oceanographic Institute for the United States, the head of the Hurricane Center. Anyway, here is Joe Biden.
Our commitment to tackling the climate crisis, which threatens all of us. We're seeing the consequences of climate change around the world very vividly, including in the United States right now. And I know your nations feel it acutely, and for you all, it's an existential threat.
Some members of the media can't help but go after Ron DeSantis. The New York Times had a piece on the front page of their website going after the governor of Florida. Why? Because he voted against a boondoggle hurricane relief bill that was not a hurricane relief bill during Hurricane Sandy. So the New York Times is now just trying to retcon what happened during Hurricane Sandy. If you recall, there was a bill that was put forward by the House and Senate Republicans that was just aid for Hurricane Sandy that was voted for by all the Republicans. And then there was this enormous bill that included an extraordinary amount of pork that the Democrats put forward, and many Republicans voted against that. So the New York Times now claims that when Ron DeSantis was in Congress, he voted against aid for Sandy. That is not true. He voted in favor of aid for Sandy. He voted against a bill that included a bunch of other crap in it. But the New York Times headline, quote, DeSantis wants a no on storm aid, petitions a president he's bashed. So let me just get this straight. If the president of the United States is somebody that you politically oppose, you are no longer allowed to access the resources available from FEMA. So just to get this straight, if you were a Democratic governor during Donald Trump, you were not allowed to petition the federal government. In fact, I remember during COVID, every blue governor begging the federal government for resources. And the idea was that if Trump didn't give them the resources, it was because it was political and bad. But now if DeSantis even asks for the resources, according to the New York Times, this means that he's political and a hypocrite. So you see how this dumb game works for the New York Times. Matt Flegenheimer reporting, as a freshman congressman in 2013, Ron DeSantis was unambiguous. A federal bailout for the New York region after Hurricane Sandy was an irresponsible boondoggle, a symbol of the put it on the credit card mentality he'd come to Washington to oppose. He said, I sympathize with the victims, but his answer was no. Nearly a decade later, as his state confronts the devastation and costly destruction wrought by Hurricane Ian, Mr. DeSantis is appealing to the nation's better angels and betting on its short memory. Well, no, he's not betting on his short memory. He literally voted in favor of a certain amount of aid for Hurricane Sandy. But Barack Obama and the Democrats crammed through a bill that was way more aid than was necessary for Hurricane Sandy. This is a very open debate at the time. But again, the goal of the New York Times here is to suggest that Ron DeSantis is suddenly a socialist, that Ron DeSantis is suddenly a fan of big government. It's the stupidest form of politics here because FEMA exists. FEMA is funded. FEMA was created specifically for this thing. And now FEMA is bringing its resources to bear. The debate over whether the federal government should be involved in solving state level issues like this. That debate, I think, should be open theoretically, but it has not been open on a practical level since, as I said yesterday, about 1895. For a very, very long time in the United States, there has been an understanding the federal government is going to bring its resources to bear when there's a major natural disaster in the United States. This has been true for well over 100 years. And so this notion that Ron DeSantis is doing something unprecedented or evil or violative of his principles by, as the governor of the state, saying to FEMA, an institution created just for this, we need your help on this one, is absurd. It's also absurd because, again, they're retconning this thing because the notion that Hurricane Sandy was the breaking point for DeSantis, and DeSantis didn't vote for it. He did vote for aid. He just didn't vote for all of the pork. In a local interview that year, DeSantis said the bill contained extraneous stuff that could not be classified as emergency spending. He said, I never made the point of saying we shouldn't do anything. He did support in favor of a relief package. That was like $17 billion for Hurricane Sandy. Governor DeSantis supported an aid package in 2017 after Hurricanes Harvey, Irma, and Maria, as places like Florida, Texas, and Puerto Rico strained to recover. So, again, this is a very stupid article by the New York Times, but this is perfectly typical of the New York Times and the media looking for some sort of excuse to go after Governor DeSantis. And, of course, you have Joy Reid, the dumbest form of left-wing commentator on the air over on MSNBC, doing the same thing.
Ron DeSantis had the opportunity to make that decision and say, well, should the people of New York and New Jersey, who were hit by a catastrophic hurricane, they weren't even used to, they're not even in Florida, they're not used to hurricanes. Right. He said, no, that shouldn't happen. He, Marco Rubio, and other Tea Party members of Senate and House said they shouldn't have that money. It's too expensive. And now, as you said, he's now got to go hat in hand to Joe Biden for aid. Right. It's something he didn't even believe in as a Tea Partier.
Okay, I'm sorry, that's just a lie. But they continue to lie because, after all, Ron DeSantis is a very, very bad man. And so they have to continue to promulgate the idea that Ron DeSantis is a very, very bad man. Again, we're not going to know the extent to which the Florida government has done a good job on this hurricane until probably a week or two out. But as I said at the very beginning of this, the media is going to be looking for any indicator at all, that Ron DeSantis isn't personally rappelling from helicopters in order to save dogs in Fort Myers in order to demonstrate that he's not fit to run for the presidency in 2024 because they are scared of the governor of Florida. And so they're just making things up at this point. We'll get to more on this in just one moment. First, using the internet without ExpressVPN, it's a dumb move. It's like having a first aid kit but not keeping it stocked up. Most of the time, it's probably fine, but what's the purpose of having a first aid kit that doesn't actually have any of the stuff that you need to stop the bleeding? That's the same thing with regard to how you use the internet. I mean, you have the ability to stop people from looking at your internet traffic, but you're allowing them to? Why? Why would you do that? Every time you connect to an unencrypted network, cafes, hotels, airports, any hacker on that same network can gain access to your personal data. We're talking passwords, financial details. Your data is valuable. Hackers can make up to $1,000 per person selling personal information on the dark web. So why use ExpressVPN? Well, first of all, it creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet. Hackers can't steal your sensitive data. Also, it's easy to use. You fire up that app, you click one button, and now you're protected. We're talking about working on all of your devices, phones, laptops, tablets, and more. You can stay secure on the go. I use ExpressVPN because, frankly, what I do online is nobody's business. I'm very political, and I don't need big tech monitoring what I do. Secure your online data today. Visit ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. Get an extra 3 months for free. ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. Well, meanwhile, controversy has broken out over my friend and colleague here, Jordan Peterson. He went on Piers Morgan's show, and he was asked specifically about Olivia Wilde's brand new movie, Don't Worry, Darling, which is getting just excoriated by the critics, which is a shocker because she is one of the protected people, Olivia Wilde. She's a feminist hero. And it doesn't matter that this feminist hero made the actual star of that film, Florence Pugh, apparently extraordinarily uncomfortable on set because she was banging Florence Pugh's co-star, Harry Styles. None of that matters because Olivia Wilde is a feminist hero for making a movie that basically suggests that men want to put women back in the kitchen like it's the 1950s. Well, the movie, Don't Worry, Darling, apparently, one of the stars, Chris Pine, according to Olivia Wilde, is basically playing Jordan Peterson. And he's supposed to be a cult leader who's trying to create a mental, I don't want to give any spoilers for this dumb movie, but apparently he's trying to create some sort of mental system that people live in, a kind of virtual reality, whereby young men can essentially train women to be put back into the kitchen. And that's what Jordan Peterson wants. And so she says that that character, that Chris Pine cult leader character, is based on Jordan Peterson. So Jordan was asked about this by Piers Morgan over on Sky News. And he got rather emotional about the idea that he should not be attempting to reach out and help disaffected young men. Here was what Jordan had to say.
The film director Olivia Wilde has a new movie out, which she says is based on you, this insane man, this pseudo-intellectual hero to the incel community. Incel being these weirdo loner men. Who are despicable in many ways. Is that you? Are you the intellectual hero to these people?
Sure. Why not? You know, people have been after me for a long time because I've been speaking to disaffected young men. You know, what a terrible thing to do that is. I thought the marginalized were supposed to have a voice.
It's making you emotional to talk about that.
Well, God, you know. It's very difficult to understand how demoralized people are. And certainly many young men are in that category. And you get these casual insults, these incels. What do they mean? It's like, well, these men, they don't know how to make themselves attractive to women who are very picky. And good for them. Women, like, be picky. That's your gift, man. Demand high standards from your men. Fair enough. But all these men who are alienated, it's like they're lonesome and they don't know what to do. And everyone piles abuse on them.
To the fact that Jordan gets emotional in favor of these young men, that he's attempting to give a sense of purpose, this is what the media and the left have jumped on. More on this in just a moment. But first, if you own a business, it's been a bumpy ride for the last couple of years, from the pandemic to inflation to incipient recession. I'm sure that you could use a break. Innovation Refunds can help you out. If your business has 5 or more employees and managed to survive COVID, you could be eligible to receive a payroll tax rebate of up to $26,000 per employee. It's not a loan. There's no payback. It is a refund on your taxes. The challenge is, how do you get your hands on it? How do you cut through the red tape, get your business the refund money? Well, you head on over to GetRefunds.com. Their team of tax attorneys are highly trained in this little-known payroll tax refund program. They've already returned $1 billion to businesses, and they can help you, too. They do all the work, no charge up front, simply share a percentage of the cash they get for you. Businesses of all types can qualify, including those who took PPP, nonprofits, even those that had increases in sales. To find out if your business qualifies, just head on over to GetRefunds.com, click on Qualify Me, answer a few quick questions. This payroll tax refund is only available for a limited amount of time, so you need to get started right now. Don't miss out. Head on over to GetRefunds.com. That's GetRefunds.com, GetRefunds.com, GetRefunds.com to start saving money today.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Alrighty, coming up, the left is ripping into Jordan Peterson because he teared up in defense of men who are sort of dispossessed and searching for answers. But of course, they want more emotional men, so what's the problem? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bai. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReadingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading, where you can enjoy the comfort of your vehicle, including the air conditioning, while they remove the smoke and grime, debris, and other deposits that can build up on your vehicle and possibly damage the finish and paint. Quick and Clean Car Wash packages start at only $9. Or buy 5 car wash coupons, get one free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons, get 3 free. Stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the media are just completely hypocritical when it comes to masculinity. First, they say that you're toxically masculine if you won't cry. And then if you tear up in defense of men who are having a rough time out there, this means that you're some sort of wimp. So there's a great hypocrisy here, right? The media and the left, they suggest that masculinity, traditional masculinity, is bad because traditional masculinity doesn't allow you to show your feelings. Then here's Jordan Peterson, a hero to a lot of young men because he stands in favor of traditional masculinity and masculine roles. And he's getting openly emotional, right? He's tearing up while talking about these people who are disaffected. So he's demonstrating to them that emotionality in public is actually not the end of the world, and the left is angry at him for that. But this goes to a broader point that is really dangerous in American life right now. And that is that a huge swath of elite opinion makers in the United States, a huge swath of our media, many members of the political left, they have decided that there's an entirely dispensable portion of the population, and this is young, disaffected men. And that is having a radical impact on how people live. I'm not just talking about men here. I'm talking about women, too. It turns out that women are generally not in favor of androgynous, feminized men. They do not like it. These statistics on female happiness over the course of the last half century have not demonstrated increased female happiness with the androgenization of gender. They have not created extraordinary levels of female happiness with later marriage and less childbearing and rearing. It's not good for women. It's particularly not good for men. The stats on men right now are devastating in the United States. David Brooks has a piece today in the New York Times titled, The Crisis of Men and Boys. He says, if you've been paying attention to the social trends, you probably have some inkling that boys and men are struggling in the United States and across the globe. They're struggling in the classroom. American girls are 14 percentage points more likely to be school ready than boys at age 5, controlling for parental characteristics. By high school, 2/3 of the students in the top 10% of the class, ranked by GPA, are girls. Roughly 2/3 of the students at the lowest decile are boys. In 2020, at the 16 top American law schools, not a single one of the flagship law reviews had a man as editor-in-chief. Men are struggling in the workplace. 1 in 3 American men with only a high school diploma, 10 million men, is now out of the labor force. The biggest drop in employment is among young men aged 25 to 34. Men who entered the workforce in 1983 will earn about 10% less in real terms in their lifetimes than those who started one generation earlier. Over the same period, women's lifetime earnings have increased 33%. Pretty much all of the income gains middle-class American families have enjoyed since 1970 are because of increases in women's earnings. Now, all of that would be perfectly well and good if the net happiness here were up. It is not. Men are also struggling physically. Men account for close to 3 out of every 4 deaths of despair, suicide, and drug overdoses. For every 100 middle-aged women who die of COVID up to mid-September 2021, there are 184 middle-aged men who died. Richard Reeves' new book of Boys and Men is a landmark, one of the most important books of the year, not only because it's a comprehensive look at the male crisis, but also because it searches for the roots of that crisis and offers solutions. Policies and programs designed to promote social mobility often work for women, but not men. Reeves, a scholar at the Brookings Institution, that's a liberal think tank, visited Kalamazoo, Michigan, where thanks to a donor, high school graduates get to go to colleges in the state for free. The program increased the number of women getting college degrees by 45%. The men's graduation rates remain flat. Reeves lists a whole series of programs, from early childhood education to college support efforts, that produced impressive gains for women but did not boost men. There are many reasons men are struggling, according to David Brooks. For example, the decline in manufacturing jobs that put a high value on physical strength, the rise of service sector jobs. But I was struck by the theme of demoralization that wafts through the book. Reeves talked to men in Kalamazoo about why women were leaping ahead. They said women are more motivated, work harder, plan ahead better, but this isn't a matter of individual responsibility. There's something in modern culture that is producing an aspiration gap. Many men just seem less ambitious. More men are leading haphazard and lonely lives. Roughly 15% of men say they have no close friends, up from 3% in 1990. 1 in 5 fathers doesn't live with his children. In 2014, more young men were living with their parents than with a wife or partner. Apparently, even many who are married are not ideal mates. Wives are now twice as likely to initiate divorces as their husband. So David Brooks says ambition doesn't just happen, it has to be fired. The culture is still searching for a modern masculine ideal. It is not instilling in many boys the nurturing and emotional skills that are so desperately important today. A system that labels more than 1/5 of all boys developmentally disabled is not instilling in them a sense of confidence and competence. Masculinity has gone haywire. And then, of course, he has the obligatory, because he's David Brooks, rip on Republicans. Reverting to pseudo-macho cartoons like Donald Trump and Josh Hawley doesn't help. What? I was completely unaware that the alternatives here were the complete feminization of men and Donald Trump. Like, I love that. He's unwilling to acknowledge the obvious. What has happened here is the sexual revolution has castrated men in terms of their ambition, in terms of their mobility. That is what the sexual revolution did, and it did not make women happier. That is the dirty little secret here. The second wave, third wave feminist movement did not make women happier, and it made men a lot unhappier. And what we are seeing here is the impact of that. David Brooks is afraid to say it, because if you say that sort of thing, people get very angry at you. You violated the rules. Now, I'm not making the case that women shouldn't be in the workplace, that they shouldn't be able to get the jobs that they want. I'm making the case that traditional social roles, traditional gender roles, absolutely matter. Again, I will cite my wife as a perfect example of this. My wife is a doctor. She's a primary care physician. I took care of the kids while she was in medical school. I remember at 7 o'clock every night, I would drive our 2 very young children at the time. My daughter was all of about 2.5 years old, and my son was a newborn. And I would drive them to the hospital where she was in residency so she could see them for like 25 minutes while she ate her dinner, and then she would head back inside to the residency program. So I'm very much in favor of the idea that women should be able to work the jobs that they want to work. Also, life is a balance, and my wife does that beautifully. My wife took off time to take care of both of our kids when they were babies. And now, Because she has the ability to, she wants to work part-time so she can spend more time with the kids. This is not a rare coincidence. This is kind of the ideal life as women seek to live it. But the feminist movement has told women that all of that is very bad. Having a husband is bad. It's a sign that you are weak as a woman. Having children is really bad. The height of being a woman is to have an abortion. Alrighty, coming up, the sexual revolution, the complete revamping of what human beings were supposed to be and do, that has robbed men of their souls. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
It's the Ramsey Show, talk radio where debt is dumb and cash is king. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
How was school, son?
Okay.
Just okay?
Yeah, Mom. I'm the smartest kid in the world. Now, can I borrow the car keys?
Oh, what happened?
There was some drama in the parking lot. Someone backed into my buddy's car. I'm meeting him at Mako.
Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Now, did you call ahead and make an appointment at 530-226-0992?
Yep.
You are my smartest child.
Mom, I'm your only child.
Uh-oh. Better call Mako. Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call for your free estimate at 530-226-0992. By 2030, it is estimated that there will be 71 million people aged 65 years old and older in America. As the number of older Americans increases, so will the number of caregivers needed to provide care. According to PSA2 Area Agency on Aging, caregiver burnout can occur. Be aware of the warning signs. Emotional and physical exhaustion. Withdrawal from friends, family, and other loved ones. Loss of interest in activities which you previously enjoyed. Changes in appetite, weight, or sleep patterns. Getting sick more often. Feelings of alienation, helplessness, or hopelessness. Excessive use of alcohol, medications, or sleeping pills. Feeling stressed in a patient's presence. If you recognize the warning signs, contact PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging at 530-842-1687 for your free caregiver support books. Call 530-842-1687 or visit our website at psa2.org.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA or go online to sfymca.org.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
K243CT Reading.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and hear us online at KCNR1460.com. Don't miss Armstrong and Getty, plus Ben Shapiro, and Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott, featuring special guests talking about local issues on KCNR.
For an extra 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill-up, you can cash out anytime right to your bank account, to PayPal, or any gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code BTS for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code BTS for 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill-up.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the sexual revolution was supposed to be essentially the devil's playground for men. In reality, what it ended up doing was robbing men of their purpose. Sexual revolution's effect on men has been extraordinarily bad. Now, there are a lot of men out there who took advantage of the sexual revolution. It turns out that sexual liberation, really good for horny men. The availability of people to have sex with who you are not married to skyrocketed. So for guys who wanted to have sex with lots and lots of partners, which is many, many men, this was just a boon. It was wonderful for them. But it also robbed men of their soul, because the entire idea of traditional masculinity is that men have aggressive instincts. Men have aggressive physical, sexual, work instincts. Men are more aggressive. They have testosterone. This is evolutionary biology. This is not stereotyping. It's true among primates. It's true among human beings. And because of that, we have evolved as a species many institutions that are designed to channel that traditional masculine aggressive energy toward good purposes, toward defending hearth and home. I said this about the military, got ripped earlier this week. Well, it's perfectly obvious that this is the case, that military service, for example, was a traditionally male pursuit. And that was not a bad thing, because men are the ones who are going to charge hills and kill each other on behalf of hearth and home. As a general rule throughout human history, there are exceptions, because every rule has exceptions, but that does not mean the rule does not exist. So we created all of these institutions, ranging from military service to fatherhood and the man staying in the home, and monogamy, and taking care of the kids. And we gave men roles. That did not mean that we were supposed to let men get away with toxic masculinity. Toxic masculinity would be, you know, actual violence against women, or being promiscuous, or abandoning your children. We see a lot more toxic masculinity, by the way, in the aftermath of the sexual revolution than we saw before. Because I consider it toxic masculinity to knock up a woman and then leave your child and abandon them. That's like the worst thing that you can do to a woman and to the child. And we see a lot of that these days. And we're told that that is liberation. It's not liberation for the woman who's now taking care of the kid by herself. It ain't liberation for the child who doesn't have a father. And it's not liberation for the man either, because it turns out that all it does is it frees him to be a perennial adolescent who is unhappy and useless. What Jordan Peterson says is the same thing that I say. The burdens that you take on in life, the obligations you take on in life with regard to roles and family and children, these are what liberate you. They are what give you fulfillment. We are a liberation-centered society in which the only thing that matters is your interior feeling at any given point in time. Fulfillment does not come from that interior sense of happiness at any given point in time. The man who eats tons of ice cream and dies at age 35 of a heart attack because of morbid obesity did not live a happy life, even though every time he ate the ice cream, he felt really good about himself. Human beings have always understood for literally all of time that there is a difference between the immediate joy of doing a thing that brings you happiness and the lifelong joy of taking on obligations that are very difficult and that make your life worse in many ways, but in the end make your life a hell of a lot better. That's what it's like to be married. That's what it's like to have kids. You give up something, and what you get in return is something far greater. And then we blew up those institutions in the name of this liberal utopian ideal of atomistic individualism, in which the sexual identity that you take on is the most important thing in life. That is the only thing that matters in life. And again, the results have been dire. They've been disastrous for Western civilization as a whole. More on this in a moment. First,
finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
see why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Nicholas Eberstadt has a good book out called Men Without Work. He works at American Enterprise Institute. And that book is based on an essay he wrote in January of 2018, talking about how American men are simply falling apart. He says the catastrophe is the collapse of work for men. In the half century between 1965 and 2015, work rates for the American male spiraled relentlessly downward. An ominous migration commenced, a flight from work, which ever greater numbers of working age men exited the labor force altogether. America is now home to an ever growing army of jobless men, no longer even looking for work. Over 7 million between ages 25 and 55, the traditional prime of working life. Now, there are some people who are blaming offshoring of jobs to China, right? It's the easy, convenient excuse. But the reality is we have far more open jobs in this country than we have people who are willing to seek those open jobs. That's been true for years in the United States. The labor force participation rate in this country is in the mid-60s. We're talking for working-age people in the United States. How big is our men without work problem today? Consider a single fact. In 2015, the work rate for American males aged 25 to 54 was slightly lower than it had been in 1940 at the tail end of the Great Depression. And we're talking when the overall unemployment rate in 1940 was like 11% in the United States. Now, in 2015, you have an overall unemployment rate of like 5%. And you still have a work rate that is lower for men than in 1940. According to the latest official jobs report data available in 2018, the work rate for prime-age men in November 2017 was still below the 1940 level. The progressive detachment of ever larger numbers of adult men from the reality and routines of regular paid labor poses a self-evident threat to our nation's future prosperity. It can only result in lower living standards, greater economic disparities, and slower economic growth than we might otherwise expect. The troubles posed by the male flight from work, says Nick Eberstadt, are by no means solely economic. It's also a social crisis and a moral crisis. The growing incapability of grown men to function as breadwinners cannot help but undermine the American family. By the way, you know what creates the capacity for men to act as breadwinners? Marriage, family, obligations, people who lean on you. And so the idea of radical independence, where people don't lean on each other, I lean on my wife, she leans on me, that is the nature of the marriage. In Hebrew, the word for love is ahava. Right? The root of that word is hav, which means to give. The root of love is giving. And one thing that you can give your spouse is your vulnerability. One thing that you can give your spouse is a sense that you need your spouse. The notion that spouses are people who actually don't need each other, they just sort of get together for a contractual arrangement, it's not true. It has never been true. And modern society, once you do that, then actually you get far less out of a marriage than you are putting into the marriage. There's no reason to get married at all. You're basically roommates who have sex with one another. That's not a basis on which to build a happy life. Among those who should be most capable of shouldering the burdens of civic responsibilities, all of this, says Nick Eberstadt, encourages sloth, idleness, and vices perhaps more insidious. Whether we choose to recognize it or not, this feature of the American condition, the new men without work normal, is inimical to our tradition. It is subversive of our national ethos, arguably even of our civilization. You want to know why you have seen vast increases in pornography use among young men in the United States? It is not mere availability. It is also because they are not involved in institutions like family, like church, that actually give them something to do. You want to know why men are increasingly abusing drugs? This would be the reason. You want to know why suicidal ideation is up among men? This would be the reason. Going all the way back to Emile Durkheim, there's been a widespread sociological understanding that societal institutions hem in and provide a rationale for existence. And when you blow up all of those roles, which is what the sexual revolution was about, it's about the idea that you have to blow up all these things because all roles and rules are inhibitions that are placed upon your true self. Well, what if your true self, that aimless, formless, chaotic sexual impulse, what if that doesn't make you happy? And what if a society that pushes that is not geared toward human happiness? What if it's offering you the sugar high, but then you die of morbid obesity at age 35? Because that's exactly what's going on in our society right now. You can see it in the way that companies now market. And so, for example, Virgin Airlines put out an ad talking about how they are the queerest airline. This is the thing they are very, very proud of. Because your identity is in, apparently, the clothes that you wear, your sexual activity, your gender identity, it is not in actually like a social role. It's all about the idea that you, all human beings, are basically fully formed adults who are allowed to and should act as children with regards to their sexual impulse. That is the thing that matters most of all. The world is supposed to reflect you. Social roles are an inhibition. The world is supposed to reflect your innermost identity, and that's the case over at Virgin Airlines. It says your identity, your choice, because they're now allowing all of the members of their staff to dress in whatever they want. And so now you've got women who are dressing as men and men who are dressing as women. Our new uniform code, says Virgin Airlines. Virgin Atlantic, see the world. Well, isn't that great? And then you have a man who is dressed in women's clothing at the end of that. Again, when you completely obliterate the distinction between the sexes, you lose the rationale for there being different sexes. You lose the social institutions that have evolved over the course of literally hundreds of thousands of years. When you have the Planned Parenthood director of trans care out there saying in a well-accepted viewpoint on the left now that men get pregnant, if there's no distinction between men and women, then what exactly is the role of men and what exactly is the role of women and why should men take on additional obligation? Here's the testimony of Planned Parenthood's director of trans care, Dr. Bhavik Kumar.
Dr. Kumar, can biological men become pregnant and give birth?
So men can have pregnancies, especially trans men.
Okay, so the question was, can a biological man give birth? And the noted doctor here just ignores the question entirely and pretends that men can have babies and give birth. Roles matter. Rules matter. Because these are things that give us purpose in life. A man on a desert island by himself has no rules, has no roles. He is also going to be a deeply unhappy human being. Without those roles, without any sort of purpose or meaning, people fall apart. And this is why what we're seeing now is an upswing, sort of return to the idea that maybe some more traditional forms of, for example, courtship might be a good thing. We'll get to that in just one second. First,
NobleGoldInvestments.com. Inflation is not only a real concern, the rate seems only to be trending upwards. The financial experts are saying gold could hit as high as $2,400 by 2023. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com today. A precious metals IRA acts like a shield for inflation. Noble Gold specializes in storing the value of your wealth through gold IRAs, so they're truly a natural choice for your retirement portfolio. Act now, and with any qualified purchase, write or mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. You heard right. Just mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Don't let inflation affect you or your retirement. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. NobleGoldInvestments.com. Investment involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee future results.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Alrighty, coming up, a story about the diversification of the U.S. military and its wonderful side effects. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your host, Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has the chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, a more diverse military is a stronger military, except when the first trans officer actually is handing information to the Russians. Then it's just awkward. The media have been attempting to sort of bury the lead in this particular story, but apparently the U.S. Army's first transgender officer and his wife, a Maryland doctor, were indicted on conspiracy charges Wednesday for allegedly attempting to transfer confidential military medical information to Russia. The 8-count indictment was unsealed Thursday upon the arrest of the defendants, Major Jamie Lee Henry and anesthesiologist Anna Gabriellen. According to a Department of Justice press release, the Army granted Henry's request to officially change his name in accordance with his gender preference in 2015, prior to Henry's case, identifying as a sex different than the one on one's birth certificate made a soldier unfit for military service, warranting discharge. Gabriellen worked at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, referred to as Medical Institution 1 in the indictment, located in Baltimore, Maryland. Henry, who is also a doctor, worked as a staff internist stationed at Fort Bragg. The pair are accused of stealing patient health files from Johns Hopkins in Fort Bragg and giving them to an individual they believe to be working for the Russian government. So much historicness happening in the U.S. Army. That is excellent stuff. Okay, so here's the thing. As we blow up all of these traditional gender roles, as we blow all this up, and as people become more unhappy, as men drop out of the workforce, lose their purpose, as women become essentially working widgets, they become the inputs for capitalist growth without actually fulfilling many of the things that drive women in life. And they were lied to by the feminist movement, by the way. They're told they could have it all. It turns out you cannot, because the one thing on planet Earth that is finite is time. Well, it turns out people are really unhappy. And so there's now a newfound embrace. You can't call it this. You can't say that it's traditional Judeo-Christian values. You can't say that because it alienates too many people. But there is a newfound embrace of that happening because, again, those values are rooted in institutions that have been evolved over the course of hundreds of thousands of years to be good for human beings. Really good essay today by a person named Michal Leibowitz, an editorial assistant over at the New York Times op-ed section, called Dating is Broken, Going Retro Could Fix It. Quote, among the traditional rites of an all-American high school experience is the taking and judging of yearbook photos. And in this, my all-girls Orthodox Jewish school is no exception. Our dialogue as we swap prints was more Fiddler on the Roof than Sweet Valley High. Are you going to use that for your shidduch resume? Shidduch resume is how people basically date in the Orthodox Jewish community. So you put together an actual resume with a picture on it, and you submit it to what's called a shadchan, which is like a third-party person, who then thinks of all the people they know who are your age, and they fix them up, because they're fixing you up not to have sex with one another. They're fixing you up for the possibility of shared values, marriage, and children. In other words, dating with a purpose. It turns out that doing everything with a purpose is significantly better for human fulfillment than doing things without a purpose. All of Western life seems to be predicated now on the opposite. Purpose hems you in. No purpose makes you free. No purpose also makes you depressed and suicidal, as a general rule. It was a joke, mostly. Though many of my peers, she says, would go on to make the dating profiles favored by Orthodox matchmakers, most wouldn't do so for more than a few years. By then, our 17-year-old acne-studied panim would be poor likenesses. But the joke reflected something that was true. Even as high schoolers, many of us knew how we planned to meet our spouses. And it wasn't going to be the loosey-goosey way the secular world did it. Well, there's also something else there. In Orthodox Jewish high school, you think about getting married. You're 17, you're already thinking about marriage. When you go to an Orthodox Jewish high school, this is true in Catholic high schools as well. This is true in religious Protestant high schools. Basically, it's true in madrasas. Religious institutions in the United States, by the time you hit close to marriageable age, which is 18 and up, you're already thinking about marriage, which means that you're already thinking about the values, not just the looks, but the values of the person who you want to be with. And this means that you are already channeling your life toward a particular purpose. You know, the highest purpose that we were put on God's green earth to do, which is to have children and raise them correctly, says this columnist, Michal Leibowitz. It's been odd the past several years watching the ways the secular mainstream has latched, tentatively, faddishly, onto traditional dating practices. There's the slew of matchmaking companies sorting out the love lives of the rich and famous, the articles declaring matchmaking is hot again, the Netflix carousel filled with shows casting back to an older, if partly imagined, vision of romance, Indian matchmaking married at first sight, Bridgerton. A reacquaintance with more traditional forms of meeting and falling in love makes me hopeful. I see signs of a culture grasping for things it rightly needs. In today's largely online world, burnout, opacity, and callousness define dating, reflecting the values of a society that prizes individualism, privacy, and choice in nearly all things, including matters of the heart. But while dating is more convenient than it has ever been, people find dates while sitting on the toilet, it is clearly falling short. There are elements of traditional dating culture that can provide solutions, not just to the way we find people to date, but also to the way we navigate relationships. Now, here's the thing. What traditional dating does, because you're literally asking yourself, is this a person I wish to have children with? Because of that, this actually incentivizes men to be better. When it turns out that dating is just about the sexual pleasure to be obtained from a new partner at any given point, the most attractive of both sexes will tend to do the best, obviously. When it comes to marriage, now you can actually better yourself in certain ways. It's funny, I was watching a Bill Burr comedy special last night, and he was talking about how women tear each other down, how women are very nasty to each other privately, and then they will say to somebody, they'll say that they're fat positive, they're body positive. But meanwhile, behind their back, they'll talk about how she just looks terrible. I would never look like that. But what Bill Burr says, he says, women look at models very often like, you know, that's setting up unrealistic expectations for men. And he says, yeah, like every time I look at Brad Pitt on screen, he takes off his shirt. I'm not like, man, they're setting up unrealistic expectations for me. He's like, I know, I'm overweight, I'm bald, I'm orange. And so I had to get really good at comedy in order to get chicks. This is the way that men typically have bettered themselves, to make yourself more attractive to the opposite sex. This means get an education, get a job, demonstrate that you are responsible, do the things that would demonstrate that you are capable and worthy of having children with a particular woman. By the way, exactly what Jordan Peterson says. He says women should be picky. In fact, one of the bigger problems right now is that women are not particularly picky about the men that they date, because they're not dating for marriage, they're not dating for kids. So what does that mean? It means no one is actually dating with an eye toward upping their social value as an aspect of getting married. This columnist for the New York Times, Michal Leibowitz, says, it's worth asking, is it time to court again? In October 2019, Pew conducted a survey to understand Americans' attitudes toward romantic relationships. Most daters told Pew their romantic lives weren't going well. Three-quarters of respondents said it was difficult to find people to date. When asked why finding a date was so difficult, reasons varied by gender. Women tended to say it's challenging to find someone who meets their expectations or is looking for the same type of relationship. Men mostly said they have trouble approaching people. These complaints seem counterintuitive. Internet dating promises an abundance of choice to meet any standard, a profusion of filters to suit any relationship, low barriers to reaching out to relieve any anxiety. But now, as I found when I talked to people about what it's like to date, the theoretical abundance of options, filters, low barriers to engagement doesn't translate to high-quality interactions. Instead, daters find themselves caught in a cycle of unanswered messages and dead-end interactions, contributing to a ubiquitous feeling of dating app burnout. Again, this is because men and women are typically looking for different things when they are dating, unless you have institutions that incentivize men to look for the correct things when they are dating. Yes, that institution of marriage. It turns out that the general societal standard that applied for most of human history, which was you're supposed to put off your sex life until you get married, that this was a really good disincentive to men simply looking to get laid, that they were actually going to have to sacrifice something, demonstrate that they were worthwhile. Michal Leibowitz says one of the ironies of modern dating is that while it's not uncommon to date for months or even years without broaching the big questions about marriage and children, other forms of intimacy tend to be embraced more quickly. Almost all Americans have sex before getting married. That's been true for decades, but the normalization of casual sex is newer. It's not clear newer norms around having sex casually or very soon after meeting are really helping those who ultimately want lasting, committed relationships. I remember noting this while watching Friends back in the 1990s. In the religious community, here's how it goes. You fall in love, you get married, you have sex, right? That is the order of events in traditional communities. In the modern community, the way that it works is have sex, maybe fall in love, and maybe get married. So you'll have the most intimate relationship that you can have with a person. And then you'll be like, man, I'm really nervous about saying I love you. You wonder why things are failing? The sexual revolution has crippled men and women. And so no matter how pissed the left is at Jordan Peterson, the reason they're really pissed at Jordan Peterson is he's reminding them of a simple fact. The social standards that they have said was the bargain, right? You're supposed to blow up all these institutions. You're supposed to completely reshape society around a promise. Jordan is noting that the cost of that promise is really high. And it's not just to quote-unquote incels. It's to everyone. And that's why people are pissed at Jordan. But reality always wins. And the utopian stupidity of atomistic individualism when it comes to sexual liberation is crippling societies. That shouldn't be a shock. When you run directly into the teeth of reality, reality tends to bite. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. In the aftermath of Hurricane Ian, authorities in Florida are surveying the storm damage. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis tells WFSU-TV some people are going to need substantial help.
You had homes just washing away, destroyed, yes, but like sometimes these things, you see the home and you know it was some of these things just disappeared. And so there's a lot of people that are going to need a lot of help. FEMA has individual assistance for this community, which is important, but they're only allowed to do certain things.
Florida Division of Emergency Management Director Kevin Guthrie says responders have focused so far on hasty searches aimed at emergency rescues and initial assessments, which will be followed by two additional waves of searches. Ian is now a post-tropical cyclone after hitting South Carolina as a Category 2 hurricane. Florida's chief financial officer is warning people and businesses to beware of charity scams following the storm. Jimmy Petrona says those wanting to help should donate to the Florida Disaster Fund. Donations can be made at floridadisasterfund.org. The House passes a short-term government funding patch, sending the measure to President Biden hours before a midnight shutdown.
The House cleared the measure in a 230 to 201 vote, funding the government through the midterm elections until December 16th and providing billions in additional Ukraine aid and disaster relief. Most Republicans oppose the bill. Congressman Ben Klein of Virginia.
Paychecks are declining in value, but Democrats continue to fund these out-of-touch policies with billions of taxpayer dollars from hardworking Americans.
Congressman Bob Good, also of Virginia, agrees.
We should not fund a government that is allowing an invasion across our southern border and is giving hundreds of millions of dollars to the countries that are facilitating that.
Bernie Bennett, Washington.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams still looking for places to stash illegal immigrants outside his so-called sanctuary city. He's working on a deal with a Norwegian cruise ship. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, my name's Adam Barada. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold, the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your 3-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
More calls have been made by hardliners in Iran to take action against well-known figures who've expressed support for last week's mass protest.
As the protests have spread across Iran over the past 2 weeks, a number of celebrities from the worlds of sport and culture have taken the risk of publicly declaring their support. They're not only putting their careers on the line, but their freedom. Several have been arrested for speaking out, but hardliners want even firmer action. One MP, Mohammad Reza Murtaj Ardini, has called for what he describes as a new revolutionary cleansing to deal with those who become famous in the Islamic Republic, but who, according to him, are traitors.
BBC correspondent Sebastian Usher reporting. Up to 19 people, including a commander in the paramilitary Revolutionary Guard, have been killed in an attack by armed separatists on a police base in the eastern city of Zahanan. It's not known if the attack is related to the mass demonstrations. News and analysis at townhall.com. A California senior care home is being sued after a resident's poisoning death.
93-year-old
Trudy Maxwell was one of three people hospitalized after accidentally being served dishwashing liquid instead of drinking juice at the Atria Park Senior Living Facility in San Mateo. The lawsuit contends that the liquid was more toxic than Drano and destroyed her digestive tract. The facility says a staff member filled a pitcher with liquid dishwashing detergent that has a nearly identical consistency and color to cranberry juice, with the intention of dispensing the liquid into a commercial dishwashing machine. The facility says that another staff member picked it up, mistaking it for juice, and served it to three residents. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
The facility suspended employees involved while it investigates. And the Chevron Corporation selling the massive California headquarters it bought in the 80s, consolidating their operations in Houston, Texas. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If you trust the government, if you believe the misinformation they're telling you is fact, you won't like our show, Poke the Hornet's Nest.
Hi, I'm your host, Doug Janke, and along with co-host Nick Gardner, we'll expose the dark side of governmental deception and misinformation from our local level, statewide, and to the national and world views.
On second thought, maybe the government believers should listen to the view of two middle-class, well-informed, working Americans.
Be sure to tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday right here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM, 8 to 9 every other Sunday morning.
And remember, you don't have to believe the artificial intelligence these people with college degrees are telling you, because sometimes they're misleading you. Listen to the other side of the news.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Do you like your web history being seen and sold to advertisers? No? Me neither. Get ExpressVPN right now at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. Alrighty, so meanwhile, Vladimir Putin is ramping up the conflict. According to the Daily Wire, Russian President Putin is expected to annex parts of eastern and southern Ukraine on Friday, claiming that forced referenda across four occupied regions support Russia's claim. Western leaders are scrambling to respond. While many have condemned as a land grab, according to Politico, Putin's move has raised concerns Russia is committing itself to long-term conflict with Ukraine and that a resolution to the war may be much further off than European and North American leaders were hoping. Russian state media reported on Tuesday Ukraine's Luhansk, Donetsk, Kherson, and Zaporizhia regions voted overwhelmingly to break with Ukraine and join Russia. Now, you can tell these are forced elections by the results. Whenever you have an election in a free and fair country, the results typically look like in a blowout, like 60-40, 65-35. You're talking like a massive blowout, 70-30, the biggest blowout. They don't look like this. 99% in Donetsk, 98% in Luhansk, 87% in Kherson, 93% in Zaporizhia. Putin said in a television appearance, the formation of a more just world order is taking place. He said, unipolar hegemony is inexorably collapsing. This is an objective reality the West categorically refuses to accept. So Putin is making clear his intentions here, and that is to set up a bipolar world. A world in which Russia and China, whatever allies like Turkey, they can sort of cudgel on board or curry favor with, that they will pose a counterbalance to the EU and the United States and all the Western allies. Secretary of State Blinken said in a statement, quote, the Kremlin's sham referenda are a futile effort to mask what amounts to a further attempt at a land grab in Ukraine. To be clear, the results were orchestrated in Moscow and do not reflect the will of the people of Ukraine. He said the United States does not and will never recognize the legitimacy or outcome of the sham referenda or Russia's purported annexation of Ukrainian territory. The spectacle conducted by Russia's proxies is illegal and violates international law. Now, what is this all a predicate to? Well, once Putin declares that this is Russian land, he then gets to declare that Ukraine is now invading Russia. And that means unleashing his new million-man call-up army, or maybe even using possibly tactical nuclear weapons. The truth is that Putin is in a very, very weak position because of the failures of his military in Ukraine. And caged animals are very, very dangerous. According to the Wall Street Journal, Russia is planning triumphant ceremonies and public rallies as President Putin prepares to formally annex a broad additional swath of neighboring Ukraine. The celebrations are set to echo the pomp and circumstance that accompanied Russia's seizure of Ukraine's Crimean Peninsula 8 years ago, an event Putin marked in the imperial grandeur of the Kremlin's gilded St. George's Hall. Russia's capture of Crimea was quick and nearly bloodless and vaulted Putin to new heights of popularity at home. Today, the new annexations raise the risk of overreach as he grasps for a breakthrough in the Ukraine war. The annexations will up the ante in a war Russia has been losing and leaves Putin dangerously short of exit options, according to those analysts. Well, I mean, does it leave Putin short of exit options, or does it leave the world short of exit options? Because again, Do we want him using a tactical battlefield nuclear weapon? And how long is Europe going to last this winter when all of the gas is shut off? If Russia fails to reverse the tide with 300,000 hastily trained troops that Putin mobilized last week, he faces the prospect of a wider draft of military-age men that would be deeply unpopular inside the country. Nationalist politicians are pressing Putin to declare martial law that would put the economy on wartime footing, close Russia's borders to stop tens of thousands of draft-age men who are fleeing the country, and imposing some restrictions on foreigners. Next week, the upper house of Russia's parliament is expected to rubber-stamp the annexation of the occupied Ukrainian territories. The festivities, harking back to that spring 8 years ago, precede what promises to be a bloody and difficult winter. Apparently, the war in Ukraine has cost Moscow at least 80,000 wounded or killed, according to Western estimates. That is an astonishing number. That outnumbers, by a serious margin, the number of killed and wounded that the United States had over the course of nearly the entire Vietnam War. I mean, that is insane. And we are talking inside of, what, 6 months here? Those casualties are likely to grow. So I think there's a little bit of wishful thinking going on here that there's going to be a coup in Moscow and that suddenly Putin is going to step down or be forced to step down. The West continues to ramp up the pressure. But again, it's got to be a two-track negotiation here. You ramp up the pressure and some off-ramp has to be offered to Putin here, because otherwise what you're going to end up with is a lot of death and a lot of chaos and a lot of destruction. And again, maybe the use of a tactical nuclear warhead. The Washington Post reports on the eve of Putin's intention to formally annex four Ukrainian regions, the United States and its allies put the finishing touches on their plans to respond with measures designed to significantly increase the military, diplomatic, and economic pressure they believe will eventually box Putin into an intolerable position. New sanctions are to be announced on entities inside Russia, those on the outside that contribute to its war effort as well, according to the U.S. and the EU. Long-term commitments are being made to ensure continued flow of Western weapons to Ukraine. Fence-sitting nations are being cajoled and pressured to take a stand against Moscow. Over the past 10 days, allied governments have tried to match Moscow's ramp up. At the UN last week, President Biden rewrote portions of his General Assembly speech at the last minute to make the just-announced referenda and a veiled Putin threat to use nukes a centerpiece. In a message directed at those nations who saw the democracy versus autocracy rhetoric that had characterized debates over Ukraine as far from their own concerns, this was seen as an issue that would hit closer to home. Biden said Russia's attempt to seize another country by force and change its borders unilaterally was a violation of the UN Charter that was negotiated among citizens of dozens of nations with vastly different histories and ideologies and designed to protect them all. So he's attempting to kind of shift the footing of the war, because there are a lot of authoritarian countries that actually kind of like Vladimir Putin. And when they hear democracy versus autocracy, they think, well, we are not a democracy, so I guess we are on the other side of that aisle. Western allies will be closely watching countries like the UAE, Gabon, and India, who have abstained on previous measures criticizing Russian actions in Ukraine. If they are disappointed by the votes of those countries or others, then they'll move it to the General Assembly. The last General Assembly vote on the Russian invasion brought 35 abstentions. According to a U.S. defense official, I think you can anticipate if Putin goes ahead with this scheme, I think we assume he will, there will be some significant political and economic consequences in addition to the security staff. And then we're going to continue doing what we're doing, which is there will be more security assistance packages. A little bit more on this in a moment. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
And meanwhile, NATO is now blaming essentially Russia for the Nord Stream bombings. So you'll recall that there are a series of leaks on the Nord Stream pipelines between Russia and Europe that were pretty clearly the result of bombings and sabotage. Russia accused the West of that. And the U.S. and its allies have accused Russia of doing that, which wouldn't be a shock because, again, Russia has claimed breakdowns in the pipeline before. They say, oh, it's not us. We didn't really do it. But, you know, it just kind of broke. And now you guys have no oil and natural gas. How are you liking all that? Presumably to avoid some sort of penalties from the World Bank or from the IMF. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg wrote on Twitter that sabotage on the pipelines was of deep concern. At a NATO meeting on Wednesday evening, Danish officials said the pipelines were damaged by 2 explosions on Monday, each with a force of about 1,100 pounds of TNT. Swedish and Danish authorities said on Thursday the total of 4 leaks, 2 in the waters of each country, had been verified. The Swedish Coast Guard said the 4th leak, the 2nd in Swedish waters, was discovered earlier this week around the same time as the first. The aftermath of the leaks threatens to expand the theater of the conflict in Ukraine, which so far has mostly been confined to Ukraine's borders and to conflate it with economic war playing out between Russia and the West. The incidents don't affect Europe's gas supply because those pipelines aren't now in use, but they've raised fear about the security of the continent's energy systems as governments work to build up their own gas supplies for the winter. So Russia, of course, is denying involvement, which doesn't mean that Russia didn't do it. Presidential spokesman Dmitry Peskov told reporters on Thursday, much more NATO than Russian hardware is in the area where the pipeline leaks have occurred. He says this area is in the Baltic Sea. There are many more aircraft ships or other marine vehicles from NATO countries there. So I guess maybe this was also supposed to be some sort of tacit threat against actual internal Western and Eastern European pipelines, quite possibly. Now, meanwhile, Putin is ramping up the pressure in the understanding that if the prices go high enough, maybe some of the governments that have been pretty strong with the sanctions are going to go wobbly. That's already having an effect in places like Paris. According to the Wall Street Journal, thousands of people took to the streets in France on Thursday to demand higher wages to cope with inflation and to protest President Emmanuel Macron's plan to raise the country's retirement age. Now, again, a lot of this is just the result of inflationary central bank policy and the result of an overweening social welfare state that now eats up too much of the budget. And so they're having to take the austerity measures that every country will eventually be forced to take, including the United States. Striking teachers, students and railway workers joined peaceful protests in dozens of cities around the country, snarling traffic, forcing many schools to shut down. The Eiffel Tower is closed. The street demonstrations are a sign of the potential turmoil European leaders face as the war in Ukraine continues with no end in sight. Moscow has choked supplies of Russian gas to the continent, hammering businesses and stoking fuel prices. Macron's government has now spent more than 40 billion euros, that's about $39 billion, on measures to limit increases in the price of fuel, gas, and electricity. They include a cap on electricity and natural gas prices, as well as a rebate on fuel. One of the big problems is, again, when you do big giveaways like this, in the midst of an interest rate increase, you are increasing the cost of borrowing on the central government, which means that the price of bonds is going to go down. This is exactly what you've seen in the UK right now. The Western governments have been living on, they're high on their own supply, and they have been for a very long time when it comes to social welfare spending. They figured, it's sort of like the subprime bubble bursting. They figured that the market was going to continue going up, 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 up. We'll just keep growing, 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 growing. And now they've been hit with the double whammy of COVID, as well as an inflationary cycle created by response to COVID, policy response to COVID. And now what they're seeing is the on top of that, Russian pressure on the economy created by cutoffs in the fuel supply. That's going to have some pretty dire ramifications for domestic politics in a lot of these countries. Despite inflationary pressure, Macron is moving ahead with a plan to overhaul the country's pension system, raising the retirement age, angering the country's powerful unions. After losing his majority in parliament in June, Macron pledged to turn the page on his first term, in which he wielded authority without building political consensus. Opposition and union leaders now say the president isn't keeping his word. Few companies have raised salaries to match inflation at this point. Again, Macron has been pushing for a long time for overhauling the country's pension system. In 2019, the leader proposed to consolidate France's 42 pension plans, which vary widely in retirement age and income, into one universal system, and introduced bonuses and penalties to encourage people to work until age 64. And Western societies have basically made themselves fat and happy and stupid, and now they are reaping the benefits and the drawbacks of all of that, and Putin is merely ramping up the pressure. So it'll be fascinating to see how this kind of jaws of doom here, economic doom, is escaped, if at all, by the Western powers. And the most obvious way to do this would be to come sort of solution with Putin, which is going to happen, you would imagine, sometime in here, barring some sort of world-changing move inside the Russian government, which, again, you can't bet on coups. Very difficult to bet on a coup. More on this in a moment. First, as we celebrate Roe versus Wade being overturned, we honor the over 63 million babies' lives who have been senselessly taken. Preborn pregnancy clinics began their mission over 16 years ago by helping women with unplanned pregnancies make the right choice. By positioning their clinics in top abortion states, where over 50% of abortions occur, Preborn is there to introduce hurting women to the precious life growing inside of them. You see, when an expectant mom hears her baby's heartbeat and sees the image of her baby on an ultrasound, she sees a life created in God's image. It is a divine connection, and the majority of the time she's going to choose life. If you've never been in the room for an ultrasound, it's an unbelievable experience. You know, I've seen ultrasounds on all three of my kids, and it is life-affirming, that is for sure. Preborn's work of saving babies' lives has expanded to an even greater level as they've rushed to defend their centers from radical hate groups that have been targeting pregnancy centers. Preborn's response is entirely dependent on you, the pro-life community. Your help is necessary right now more than ever. One ultrasound is just $28. $140 helps to rescue five babies' lives. To donate, dial #250, say keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com/Shapiro. That is preborn.com/Shapiro. Alrighty, coming up, I'm very excited. The United States now has its first diplomat on behalf of the plants and animals. There is a little bit of a corruption angle. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
veterans. Did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
This is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Have you just received your Starlink? Congratulations! Do you need help installing it? Look no further than your local satellite professionals. That's right, BT Satellite. Call Doug and the whole team to set up your Starlink with the same customer service you've come to know. BT Satellite will set up your Starlink and work with you to make the experience a pleasure for you. Call today and set up your time to install the new Starlink. You know, don't call the 800 number. Call 241-3474. That's BT Satellite, 241-3474.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
It's time for the Stillwater Powwow at its new location, the Redding Rodeo Grounds, September 30th through October 2nd with free admission. It's the return of beautiful dancers, powerful drummers, and the celebration of our people's culture and history. Proudly brought to you by the Redding Rancheria and the Wind River Resort in Casino. The Stillwater Powwow at its new location, the Redding Rodeo Grounds, September 30th through October 2nd with free admission. For information, call 242-4558 or visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Brought to you by the Potters, this station, and other sponsors.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, are you excited? America now has our first diplomat on behalf of the squirrels. Amazing, amazing story. The United States has now appointed its first diplomat for plants and animals. Yes, I know. You thought that we were wasting money at the government level, but wrong you are. We have some of the most important employees in America, including, apparently, a person named Monica Medina. She's the new special envoy for biodiversity and water resources. Isn't that exciting? According to the Washington Post, for the first time, the United States is designating a special diplomat to advocate for global biodiversity amid what policymakers here and overseas increasingly recognize as an extinction crisis. So she is now going to speak. She's like the Lorax. She speaks on behalf of the tree. Monica Medina is taking on a new role as special envoy for biodiversity and water resources. She currently serves as the State Department's Assistant Secretary for Oceans and International Environmental and Scientific Affairs. The appointment underscores the Biden administration's desire to protect lands and waters, not just at home, but also to conserve habitats abroad. As you'll see, buried way down in this article is what's really going on. Hey, wait till we get to it. You ready? There's a direct connection between biodiversity loss and instability in a lot of parts of the world, said Medina. It's not just about nature for nature's sake. I think it is about people. Before the Biden administration, Medina was an adjunct professor at Georgetown's Walsh School of Foreign Service and worked as general counsel of the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, among other government roles. She is the wife of White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain. So created an envoy to the squirrels because she's Ron Klain's wife. Great. By the way, in the original story, it did not mention that she was Ron Klain's wife. It was only after people pointed this out that the Washington Post actually updated the story to note that the White House Chief of Staff's wife was now made the first U.S. diplomat for plants and animals. Yes, an excellent expenditure of your taxpayer dollars. Now, meanwhile, obviously, this administration is running things so well that they'll probably retain the Senate, right? Well, remember that time when I suggested that the Pennsylvania Senate race was going to get quite close? Remember I said that all of the polls were going to be wrong and that Fetterman was actually in some fairly serious trouble against Mehmet Oz? Now the polls are starting to reflect that. There are several polls out that demonstrate that this race is now within margin of error. According to Fox, just a month ago, Fetterman was up 11. Now Fetterman is up 4. FNM had Fetterman up 13. Fetterman is now up 4. Trafalgar said Fetterman was up 4. He's now up 2. Emerson said Fetterman was up 4. He's now up 2. This is before a debate in which Fetterman is not going to be able to speak clearly because, again, he has, we can hope, temporary brain damage from a stroke. And so it is quite possible that Fetterman is unable to pull off this race, which is what you would need. By the way, Adam Laxalt, I think, is going to win in Nevada. I think Herschel Walker is likely to win in Georgia as well, because I think Brian Kemp is going to basically carry him to victory. It is also fun to note that the media's favorite candidates for years and years and years are just falling apart. They are blowing up on the launch pad this time. Politico has an entire piece titled Two Dem Stars Struggle to Recapture the Magic. Now, you might be asking what sort of magic was captured by Beto O'Rourke and Stacey Abrams, considering they have not won a statewide election, either of them. But the magic was that they really narrowly lost. Well, now they're just going to get their asses handed to them in the latest election cycle. According to Politico, just a few short years ago, Beto O'Rourke and Stacey Abrams were among the Democratic Party's shiniest stars, two youthful candidates who electrified their parties even in defeat. While they came up just short in their long-shot 2018 bids to win statewide office in Texas and Georgia, respectively, their promise was such that each sparked talk of their prospects on the national stage. They're back on the ballot again this year. Abrams in a rematch with Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, O'Rourke in a bid to unseat Texas Governor Greg Abbott. This time, the vibe is different. Both of them consistently trailed their opponents in polls. O'Rourke hasn't led in a single survey since he announced his candidacy. Abrams is barely doing better. So it turns out that Beto going to New Mexico and eating dirt after being defeated by Ted Cruz, but smoking that bong didn't help, brah. So what changed, according to Politico? What happened to these one-time Democratic supernovas? Supernovas. Yeah, they were. They're such supernovas. They lost. It's easy to blame the political environment, but that's not the whole story. Their anointment as the future of the Democratic Party, young, dynamic, erudite. Erudite? Really? Erudite? Is Beto O'Rourke learned? Is Stacey Abrams a learned person? Are these real intellectuals, Stacey Abrams and Beto O'Rourke? Beto! They led to glossy magazine profiles and soft press coverage. They may have burnished their national profiles, but did little to advance their prospects among voters who weren't already inclined to support them. O'Rourke announced his candidacy for president in 2019 with an Annie Leibovitz shot Vanity Fair cover. Abrams was the subject of a Vogue profile that asked whether she can save American democracy. A Washington Post piece styled her like a superhero with a cape and asked whether she'd be VP, despite never holding elected office above the Georgia House of Representatives. In order for Democrats to overperform in purple to red states, they need to be able to differentiate themselves from the national brand, said Marcella Mulholland, political director at Data for Progress. Partaking in this high-profile national media makes it more difficult for O'Rourke and Abrams to go back home to their states and be able to have a persuasive message. The two also took stances that weren't necessarily helpful in red-tinted states. Before leaving the presidential primary race, O'Rourke won raucous applause on the debate stage for asserting, hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47. In Texas, that didn't go amazing. For her part, Abrams was haunted by the conclusion of the 2018 governor's race, where she initially refused to concede, alleging voter suppression. She's been explaining herself ever since. So, says Politico, the more modest approach is one that Representative Tim Ryan has employed in Ohio's open Senate race, where the Democratic congressman is running even with Republican J.D. Vance. Like O'Rourke, Ryan made a short-lived, if less flashy, bid for president, but in a state that's become increasingly unfriendly to Democratic candidates, Ryan is showing some success winning over Republicans. Why? Well, because he never did the sort of national branding, which, again, demonstrates the national Democratic brand is in the toilet. For all the talk about Aviator Joe, for all the talk about the brand new Joe Biden successes at the legislative level, for all the talk about the genius of Nancy Pelosi, people hate that brand. And when you associate yourself with that brand, you're likely to lose. It also happens to be the case that the media being soft on Democratic candidates does not help them. All it does is protect them from the realities of life. This is why Kamala Harris was treated with kid gloves by the media her entire race, and then she was made vice president, and it turns out she's radically incapable of holding the job. She's terrible at this. Joe Biden, same thing. When you burnish the image of a person who is not competent and then reality meets the rules of the road, things get very, very ugly for these people. When you treat Stacey Abrams as though she was a magnificent candidate, a national hero, the leader of the known universe, according to Star Trek, when you do that sort of thing, and then it turns out that she's a radically incompetent candidate who says things like there's no such thing as a fetal heartbeat at 6 weeks, and also takes pictures of herself in front of a group of school children with masks on while she grins at the camera, or when you're Beto O'Rourke and you spend your days trying to go to Uvalde, Texas, and yell at school officials and police officials about guns and the evils of the Second Amendment, and then the media treat you as though you're amazing at this, people can tell you're not amazing at this, and maybe you're more likely to lose. In other words, Democrats with a low profile here, they're doing a lot better than Democrats with a high profile. There's a reason for that. Alrighty, coming up, our nation's best colleges and universities are increasingly intolerant and terrible. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed. It's time to embrace American values. Our society is based on the freedom, not begging the government for permission. It's time to wake up, my brothers and sisters. Come check out my show every other Sunday, 8 to 9, Liberty Unabashed.
How's school, son?
Okay.
Just okay?
Yeah, Mom. I'm the smartest kid in the world. Now, can I borrow the car keys?
Oh, what happened?
There was some drama in the parking lot. Someone backed into my buddy's car. I'm meeting him at Mako.
Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Now, did you call ahead and make an appointment at 530-226-0992?
Yep.
You are my smartest child.
Mom, I'm your only child.
Uh-oh. Better call Mako. Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call for your free estimate at 530-226-0992.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous Sundial Steak Salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim for our new show, Ask Elle, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. starting in September. We'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here Tuesday nights at 6 p.m.
Brought to you by Carlene's and Deja Vu Restaurants.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So University of California at Berkeley is one of the best schools in the nation. Apparently, they also don't like Jews a lot over there. We are a society that values our system of higher education. We value it so highly that the President of the United States has now declared that he must relieve $500 billion in student loan debt. By the way, he quietly noted yesterday he has no legal authority to do this with regard to private student loan debt. So if you went to a private college, I'm afraid you are screwed even right now. But here is the broader point. The broader point is that many of the institutions that this administration and many Democrats are focused on sending your children to and then paying for your children to go to are really bad and wreck your kids and also contribute to a lot of problems in American life. Perfect example of that is Berkeley. So according to the Los Angeles Jewish Journal, they are now developing Jew-free zones, this is Ken Marcus reporting. Quote, 9 different law school groups at the University of California at Berkeley's School of Law have begun this new academic year by amending bylaws to ensure they will never invite any speakers that support Israel or Zionism. 9 different student law groups at the University of California at Berkeley. These are not groups that represent a small percentage of the student population. They include Women of Berkeley Law, Asian Pacific American Law Students Association, Middle Eastern and North African Law Students Association, Law Students of African Descent, and the Queer Caucus. Berkeley Law's Dean Erwin Chemerinsky, a progressive Zionist, has observed he himself would be banned under this standard, as would 90% of his Jewish students. So literally anyone who supports Israel, it doesn't matter if you're speaking about Israel. It doesn't matter if you're speaking about Zionism. If you're a person who likes Israel and thinks that Zionism is a good thing, they will ban you from speaking at these groups. Because the Intersectional Coalition has basically now dictated that Jews are not part of the Intersectional Coalition. It is now a century since Jewish-free zones first spread to the San Francisco Bay Area. Nevertheless, this move seems frightening and unexpected, like a bang on the door in the night. Berkeley Law students are not the first to exclude Zionists. At the State University of New York in New Paltz, activists drove 2 sexual assault victims out of a survivor group for being Zionists. At the University of Southern California, they drove student government Vice President Rose Rich out of office, threatening to, quote, impeach for Zionist ass. At Tufts, they tried to oust Student Judiciary Committee member Max Price from the Student Government Judiciary Committee because of his support for Israel. By the way, yes, there is a relationship between being Jewish and being supportive of Israel, of course, in the same way that there is a relationship between being Catholic and liking the Pope. Like, this is part of the religion, guys. It has something to do with it. I mean, literally in the Bible, the Jews are called B'nai Yisrael. So when you talk about B'nai Yisrael going to Eretz Yisrael, and now you have Medinat Yisrael, you may notice there is a word there in common. According to Ken Marcus, anti-Zionist groups are now targeting Jewish Americans directly. Anti-Zionism is flatly anti-Semitic. Using Zionist as a euphemism for Jew is nothing more than a confidence trick. Like other forms of Judeophobia, it's an ideology of hate, treating Israel as the collective Jew, smearing the Jewish state with defamations similar to those used for centuries to vilify individual Jews. This ideology establishes a conspiratorial worldview, sometimes including replacement theory, which has occasionally erupted in violence, including mass shootings in recent months. Moreover, Zionism is an integral identity of many Jews, and I would say, like, virtually all Jews, like a huge percentage of Jews. Some commentators defend these exclusions on speech grounds, arguing groups have a right to be selective to set their own rules for membership. But here's the problem. Free speech arguments run in the other direction, because, again, Berkeley's anti-Zionist bylaws now limit the free speech of Zionist students. Like, you would not allow any of these groups at Berkeley to simply say, we will not have anybody who is black in our groups. You wouldn't allow that. Right? That would be a very weird take. Or we won't allow anybody who's Catholic in our, maybe they would allow that over at Berkeley. I don't know. They do hate religious people. Discriminatory conduct, including anti-Zionist exclusion, is not protected as free speech by the law. Putting legal precedents aside, major universities generally require student groups to accept all comers regardless of status of beliefs. But apparently that's no longer the case over at Berkeley. Meanwhile, at Yale has also been excluding people on the basis of ideology. And this has prompted Judge James Ho, who is one of the best judges in America over at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit, to announce he's no longer going to be hiring law clerks from Yale Law School. He's urging other judges to follow suit. In a keynote address to the Kentucky Chapters Conference of the Federalist Society, Ho cited a number of high-profile examples of speakers being shouted down or otherwise censored at law schools across the country, but he singled out Yale as one particular law school where cancellations and disruptions seem to occur with special frequency. Ho said Yale not only tolerates the cancellation of views, it actively practices it. Starting today, I will no longer hire law clerks from Yale Law School. I hope other judges will join me as well. The reason that he is doing this is he's basically trying to create an incentive for people to go to law schools that are significantly more open about speech. Ho says the big problem is that our whole country has now become a campus. He says cancel culture now plagues a wide variety of institutions. I've written judicial opinions noting how cancel culture has infected our educational institutions, the legal profession, corporate America, public health, and how even the criminal justice system has been weaponized to cancel disfavored political viewpoints. Cancel culture is deeply embedded in journalism, entertainment, sports, and the arts. The consequences for America are significant. I'd contend cancel culture is one of the leading reasons why citizens no longer trust a wide variety of one's leading institutions. That, of course, is exactly right. Ho says the best way to fight back against this is to speak out against cancel culture. As citizens, we can stand up for free speech, for open and rigorous debate, for tolerance of opposing viewpoints. He says we're also customers. Customers can boycott entities that practice cancel culture. I wonder how a law school would feel if my fellow federal judges and I stopped being its customers. Instead of millions of customers, there are only 179 authorized federal circuit judgeships, 677 authorized federal district judgeships. Ho says Yale presents itself as the best, most elite institution of legal education, but it's the worst when it comes to legal cancellation. He said if they want the closed, intolerant environment Yale embraces today, that's their call, but I want nothing to do with it. Well, good for James Ho. That is perfectly appropriate. We'll get to more on this in a second. First, this is a busy time of year with Jewish holidays right around the corner for me. I've got lots of travel coming up, but I can rest easy because my home is safe. How do I know? Well, it's because I use Ring Alarm. Now, I know what you're thinking. Ring, the video doorbell company, they have an alarm. Yes, that is in fact true. Ring does make an alarm. Ring Alarm is an award-winning home security system with available professional monitoring when you subscribe. Best of all, you can easily install it yourself. And Ring doesn't stop there. They've changed the home security game entirely with Ring Alarm Pro, which is why I've decided to team up with Ring. When it comes to protecting my own home, I've gone pro with Ring Alarm Pro. Ring Alarm Pro is a next-level security system. CNET calls Ring Alarm Pro a giant leap for home security after using it. They are totally right. Ring Alarm Pro helps secure my home and the Wi-Fi it runs on. With Ring Alarm Pro, Ring combined a home security system and a Wi-Fi router. So, whether I'm across country or across town, I know everything at home is protected and connected and that it's going to stay that way. With that Ring Protect Pro subscription, which is an amazing deal, I get that professional monitoring for the ultimate peace of mind. So, protect your home the same way that I do. Go pro with Ring Alarm Pro. To learn more, go to ring.com/Shapiro. That's ring.com/Shapiro to get started. Now, meanwhile, Joe Biden has been engaging in some pretty extraordinary rhetoric with regard to democracy. This is a trend that I've noted for a while here, which is that the left internationally has decided that the term democracy just means things I like. So things I agree with are democracy. Things that I don't like are fascists. Everyone I don't like is Hitler. Right? So this is the game that Joe Biden is playing these days. He actually cited the recent election yesterday. Right? He cited the election of Giorgia Meloni in Italy as the new prime minister as an example of democracy going awry, even though she won a democratic election and she won like 25% of the vote or something. So we're not talking about like a fascistic election in which all the processes have been violated. Here's what Joe Biden had to say yesterday. He said, I mean this sincerely. You're going to think this is a little out of whack what I'm going to talk about, but you know, democracy is at stake. There's a case being made around the world, not just here, because democracy and autocracy. And there's an awful lot of folks who believe democracies can't be sustained in the 21st century because so much is changing in science, technology, the environment, a whole range of things. It's awful hard to reach a consensus in the short amount of time you have to reach. So that's why I have these constant arguments. I met with Xi Jinping over 78 hours, 68 of which are in person over the last 10 years. He makes the case straight up. Democracies can't be sustained in the 21st century. You just saw what's happened in Italy in that election. You're seeing it happening around the world. So apparently, Giorgia Meloni is a fascist, according to the president of the United States. It's a great way to do international relations is to call other elected leaders of foreign countries fascists and compare them to Xi Jinping. He says, the reason I bother to say is because we can't be sanguine about what's happening here either. I don't want to exaggerate it, but I don't want to understate it. It's the reason why I'm so concerned about and so interested in and so committed to seeing that the governors, democratic governors, are elected. Because obviously when you think of, fascist executive authorities shutting down, say, all businesses, all schools, vax mandates for years on end, that's the Democrats. When Joe Biden again talks about democracy and centralization of power, when he talks about the idea that democracy can't be sustained because we just have to get things done, he literally says that sort of stuff all the time. The authoritarian rhetoric from Joe Biden is very strong, and it has been since, you know, on the Democratic side of the aisle, since Obama. Obama used to do the same sort of stuff. It was Barack Obama who was doing the pen and the phone thing. If I can't get my way in Congress, then I'll just take this pen, and I'll take this phone, and I'll do whatever I want to do. Joe Biden saying things like, you know,
you can't really use OSHA for a vaccine.
And then he's like,
I will use OSHA for this vaccine mandate. I can't really use a student loan badambity, but I just did.
But don't worry, guys. The autocracy is on the right side of the aisle. This pitch is so shallow and so obviously stupid, but it's become the Democrats' number one pitch. And really, when they say this, what they mean is, think of Bad Orange Man. That's really what they mean, right? We know Bad Orange Man is bad, so think of him when you go into that voting booth. Hakeem Jeffries, who is widely considered a possible heir apparent to Nancy Pelosi as the Speaker of the House if Democrats were to retain control of the House by some miracle. He was saying that extreme MAGA Republicans are out of control and hate democracy.
House Democrats are going to continue to put people over politics, fight for lower cost, better paying jobs, and safer communities, and to draw a clear contrast with extreme MAGA Republicans who are out of control, don't believe in reproductive freedom, don't believe in Social Security, don't believe in many cases in democracy. We have a vision for the future to continue to be there for everyday Americans, and they continue to put politics over patriotism.
They voted the way I don't like. That means they hate democracy. Sounds real Democratic over there on the Democratic side of the aisle. Meanwhile, by the way, New York State is set to ban the sale of all gas-powered vehicles by 2035, which is the real mark of democracy right there, is banning people from buying the most common vehicles on the road. That's democracy in action. According to the Wall Street Journal, New York State is banning the sale of new gas-powered vehicles by 2035, and a move officials say is aimed at cutting down on greenhouse gas emissions and getting more electric vehicles on the road. Governor Kathy Hochul, a Democrat, said on Thursday she was directing the state's Department of Environmental Conservation to implement the regulations. Those regulations will be filed by the end of the year, a spokeswoman for the governor said. Hochul, who first announced the goal last year, said the state couldn't move forward until California officially approved its own regulations, which it did last month, banning the sale of new gasoline-powered cars and trucks by 2035. She said we had to wait for California to take a step because there's some federal requirement California had to go first because the Clean Air Act of 1970 basically granted California the ability to set up its own environmental rules as like its own country. Other states can then choose to adopt them. So now New York is going to basically bar the sale of any gas-powered car, pickup truck, and SUV. It'll be fun to see what they do with their electrical grid in New York as that electrical grid is completely deprived of power by all the new electric vehicles on the road. Listen, I own a Tesla. I love the Tesla. It is a fantastic car. Also, that car is powered by the electrical grid, which is generally powered by fossil fuels. So just going to point that out right there because I know that it's an inconvenient fact for people who continue to promote the idea that it's gas-powered cars that are really, really, really the problem. They care about you, the consumer. That's really what they're all about. They care about the common man, says Hakeem Jeffries. Yes, sure you do. Meanwhile, Democrats continue to promote the idea that any disparity in outcome throughout the United States has to be due to the insane levels of racism in American society. Rashida Tlaib, another one of the Democrat thought leaders, she was out there saying that yesterday. She says that people are poor in Detroit because of systemic racism, which is a hell of a take, considering that virtually every public official in Detroit is black. Here is Rashida Tlaib.
The 13 districts strong that I represent, because I grew up in the most beautiful blackest city in the country, the city of Detroit, where, unfortunately, because of systematic racism, we see poverty at higher levels. We see pre-existing conditions because environmental racism exists and so much more.
So here is the big problem over there. The Democrats have run that city for decades. So is it the systemic racism or maybe it's your crap policy that has led to the unintended consequences of the entire tax base fleeing the city? Maybe it was that. The city council of Detroit, by the way, the mayor of Detroit is white, Mike Duggan. He is a Democrat. 8 of the 9 members of the Detroit City Council, by my understanding, are black. So at a certain point, you're going to have to take responsibility for your own governance. It is now the year 2020. 22. Also, it is worth noting again that Detroit was one of the most upwardly mobile black cities in America in the 1950s and in the early 1960s, essentially until race riots cleared out the city, until radical bad regulation and equity-based policy cleared out the city of its tax base. So, but nobody ever pays attention to that sort of stuff. Again, it's all blaming all on white racism. That is the easiest way to make excuses for failed governance over the course of several decades. It's more on this in just a moment. First, let's talk about the fact that we are all going to die. I know it's a dark, dark thought, but here's the thing. We pay hundreds of bucks per year to protect our homes, our cars, even our phones. Too many of us are not taking the steps necessary to protect our family's finances in case of a tragedy. Mortgage payments, private student loans, other types of debt, they don't just go away if, God forbid, you get hit by a train. A life insurance policy can provide your loved ones with a financial cushion they can use to cover the cost. It can even provide you with peace of mind. And in a worst-case scenario, they will be protected. And if you're worried about the price, well, that's what Policy Genius is here to help you with, because they give you the ability to comparison shop. Policy Genius is an insurance marketplace that can make it easy to compare quotes from top companies like AIG and Prudential all in one place. Find your lowest price on life insurance. You could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. Options start at just $17 per month for $500,000 in coverage. Head on over to policygenius.com, get personalized quotes in minutes, find the right policy for your needs. The licensed agents at Policy Genius work for you, not the insurance companies. They're on hand throughout the entire process. They'll help you understand your options so you can make decisions with confidence. Policy Genius doesn't add on extra fees. Your personal information is private. Policy Genius won't sell your details to third parties. Policy Genius has thousands of five-star reviews across both Google and Trustpilot. Head on over to policygenius.com, get your free life insurance quotes, see how much you could save. Alrighty, coming up, Allison Williams is one of the newest talents here at the Daily Wire. She has a brand new series called Breakaways at Daily Wire Plus, all about the sports figures who have stood up to the left's cancel culture. It's a really great series. We're going to be talking with Allison in a moment. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Gold Leaf Nursery is open. Have you noticed all the different colors of crepe myrtles blooming? We have several varieties and colors. Dwarf size, semi-dwarf, up to full size to choose from, and right now they're on sale. They are drought tolerant, and it's a great time to buy. Gold Leaf Nursery carries a large selection of water-resistant shrubs and trees. We have our summer sale going on now with 20% off 1 gallon through 24-inch box trees. Gold Leaf Nursery, located on Churn Creek Road, a quarter mile from Airport Road, across from the Tucker Oaks Golf Course.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us online is Allison Williams. She's the host of the brand new Daily Wire Plus special Breakaways. Allison spent a decade as a sideline reporter at ESPN until Disney, their parent company, mandated the COVID-19 vaccine as a condition of employment. She was denied a religious accommodation request, and then Allison received a phone call from us, and the wheels were set in motion for a brand new chapter in her career. She is now on the line to discuss her brand new Daily Wire Plus series, Breakaways. Allison, great to hear from you. Glad you can join the show.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
Hey, doing well. So let's talk about Breakaways and how the series came to be. So what was the origination of the series? What made you think of doing the series, and what's it about?
Yeah, Ben, that's a good question because it was a long time coming. It took several months to kind of hash out what exactly we wanted this project to look like. When I received that call from you and Daily Wire to begin a sports project, we really didn't know what it would become. And it evolved through several months. And once we finally figured out this common theme of people who have stood up for their convictions and stood against the masses, and had their stories manipulated, if you will, by the mainstream media, we felt like this was really something important to get out there and allow people the opportunity to tell their stories completely in a format that was true to them and authentic. And I'm really proud of what we've been able to put together.
So Allison, how did you choose the guests for the series? You got some pretty high profile guests here.
Yeah, so one thing that we really looked for, and we put together this pretty long list, and we started to narrow it down, and we looked for people that were true to their beliefs and were criticized for it in ways that we felt maybe weren't entirely fair to their story. We wanted somebody like an Enes Kanter Freedom, who has taken on not only his home country of Turkey, but now he's calling out the NBA and their relationships with China. And you're not hearing about it all the time in your regular sports coverage, again, because of the financial ties going on there. We wanted a guy like Nick Rolovich, who, like myself, stood up to these mandates and lost his job. I mean, he's currently unemployed and trying to figure out what his future looks like because he was fired as a head coach at Washington State, and he had never spoken out publicly before. And then a guy like Dana White, who to me was so fascinating. I mean, he guided this multi-million-dollar company through the pandemic, and he took a route most companies didn't with UFC. And he said, we're going to get this sport on the screen. We're going to get it played. We're going to get it out there for people to give them a break and a relief kind of from all the madness going on in the world. He was fascinating. And then we have Jonathan Isaac, who literally took a stand in the NBA bubble, being the only player to stand during the national anthem, and then also took a stand against the mandate. So guys that really kind of went against the grain and held on to their convictions through all this.
Allison, you know, one of the things that really is amazing and what the series does highlight is the fact that all these people have been undercover by the media, that if they had taken different political views and were ousted from their jobs, were targeted for their political beliefs, they would be made heroes by the media. If you are LeBron James, for example, and you take a stand on behalf of against supposed police brutality, then, of course, ESPN will plaster you all over the place. But if you're Jonathan Isaac and you just don't kneel on the basis that you actually think that America will come together better if you stand for the national anthem, And if you're excoriated for that, then this means that we're not even going to cover you. Or if we do, we're going to cover you as somebody bad. If you are Nick Rolovich and you walk away from actual money, you're not Colin Kaepernick, who actually was a second-rate quarterback. You're Nick Rolovich, who actually walk away from an actual contract on behalf of your beliefs. Then they just ignore you. Like, people don't know Nick Rolovich's story, but everybody knows who Colin Kaepernick is, obviously.
Yeah, they won't even engage, which is, I think, so interesting. It's one of the things I talked to Jonathan about. Like, okay, when you take this stand in the bubble or when you speak out against why you're not getting vaccinated, who are the people that are reaching out to have conversations to understand your position? And it was really conservative leading organizations, and that was it. So even when he was interviewed by the Rolling Stone magazine, he was manipulated into a almost like a character that they wanted him to be, and his story wasn't accurately told. So he walked away from this interview thinking, okay, great, people are going to understand my position, my belief system about not getting vaccinated. But they didn't. They took it and they manipulated it to fit a narrative they wanted to tell. And that was what was so alarming to me, is that they either, these media corporations either don't engage at all, like an Enes Kanter Freedom, or if they do, they manipulate it to fit their story. And that's a problem in our country right now. And there's a bias that's permeating, and we almost become numb to it because it's so prolific. And Nick Rolovich is, you know, he's a great example of that. He chose to stay quiet for a long time, but ESPN reaches out to interview him when he was first fired. Game day came out. They said, look, we want to send one of our reporters out to interview you. And he's like, how would I trust you with my story when you just did the same thing to one of your reporters, which was me? We had no tie to one another. We hadn't really met before. I'd only had one of his games before. But he knew that if he trusted them, to tell his story that he wasn't going to get a fair treatment, and he declined. And I appreciate that because it put us in the position to hear from him for the first time. I mean, nobody has heard from him at all. And it was because he knew whoever he spoke to was going to manipulate his story and that we would not.
You know, Allison, Breakaways is a great series. It is totally worth watching for people who have not subscribed yet to Daily Wire Plus. You should go check out the series right now. It's telling the sports stories that ESPN and the rest of the sort of woke sports media landscape refuse to tell. Allison, really appreciate the series and congratulations.
Ben, thank you so much. And thank you for all your support. It wouldn't happen without you, man. I really appreciate it.
Hey, you bet. All right, folks, we've reached the end of the show. We'll be back here with much, much more on Monday. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. The death toll is at 21 after Hurricane Ian slammed into the Florida Peninsula. Now there are reports of looting. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says, don't even think about it.
The other thing that we're concerned about, particularly in those areas that were really hard hit, is, you know, we want to make sure we're maintaining law and order. Don't even think about looting. Don't even think about taking advantage of people in this vulnerable situation.
The IRS says that Florida residents impacted by the storm will be granted an extension on filing most tax returns.
The agency said in a press release that it has pushed all deadlines for affected taxpayers filing various individual and business tax returns and making tax payments after September 23rd to February 15th, 2023. Individual people and households impacted by the hurricane who have a residence or a business anywhere in the state of Florida qualify for tax relief. The IRS says the extension also applies to relief workers in disaster zones and any visitors who were injured by Ian if they request the relief. Bernie Bennett reporting.
Florida's chief financial officer is warning people and businesses to be careful of charity scams. He says if you want to donate, donate to Florida Disaster Fund at floridadisasterfund.org. More uncomfortable news from the Federal Reserve.
Federal Reserve Vice Chair Lael Brainard says U.S. interest rates will likely have to remain high for an extended period to combat inflation, capping a week of tough rhetoric by Fed officials. In remarks at a conference hosted by the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, Brainard said that international turmoil still threatens to disrupt global supplies of commodities and manufactured parts, a key factor pushing inflation higher. Brainard also said that one cannot rule out additional inflationary shocks from Russia's invasion of Ukraine, China's COVID lockdowns, or severe weather events globally. Keith Peters reporting.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, Dennis Prager here with some information on a new product that's quite fascinating for staying healthy, Cofix RX. Everybody's been in the situation, the person next to you is sniffling or even coughing. Wouldn't it be great if you had a way to minimize airborne and viral threats? To reduce your chance of getting hurt, you wear a safety belt when you're driving, and to limit sun damage, you wear sunscreen on the beach. Cofix is just like that. Cofix is a providone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray that helps keep you protected from airborne viruses. With Cofix RX nasal spray, you'll target colds, flus, and other viruses right where they breed, in your nasal cavity. Cofix RX should be in everyone's pocket, purse, or medicine cabinet. Visit Cofix RX, that's CofixRx.com, for a doctor, pharmacy, or health food retailer near you, or use the coupon code Prager for 20% off at CofixRx.com.
Republican Congressman Patrick McHenry of North Carolina says the GOP is taking steps to ensure basic constitutional rights if the administration moves to create a central bank digital currency.
We've got a rules-based regime that ensures that this technology embeds our property rights, our speech rights, our American ethos into this foundational technology for the next generation of the Internet.
Congressman McHenry is poised to become chairman of the House Financial Services Committee if Republicans recapture the majority in the midterm elections. He was interviewed by Salem Radio Network. A short-term funding bill to keep the government running is waiting for President Biden's approval. The House passed the measure Friday, averted a government shutdown. The vote was 230 to 201. It extends government funding through December 16th and doles out even more money to Ukraine in the billions while Americans are dealing with record-breaking inflation. News and analysis at townhall.com. Trump-backed candidate Dr. Oz gains ground on his Democrat opponent. This according to the latest poll in the Pennsylvania Senate race. Bob Agnew has more.
Populist Democrat John Fetterman still enjoys a lead over Republican Mehmet Oz, but it is getting smaller. The latest poll conducted by Emerson College and The Hill finds 45% of PA voters say they'll vote for Fetterman, 43% for Oz. The same poll a month ago showed Fetterman with a four-point edge. 6 weeks out now from the election, Fetterman's recent stroke is still a concern for a growing number of voters. 9% fewer respondents said the stroke would not affect their vote than those who made that same response a month ago. Bye. Reporting.
Well, Thanksgiving's on the way, and so are higher prices for the bird. The American Farm Bureau Federation announced that due to both inflation and other matters, families can expect to pay record high prices. The price of fresh, boneless, skinless turkey breast, about $6.70 per pound. Get more on these stories at townhall.com.
Hey, y'all, are you a chicken fried steak fan? You're going to want to stop over at Black Bear Diner, where they've just introduced four new ways to love your favorite. Try the kitchen sink omelet, three eggs loaded with veggies, chicken fried steak, cheese, and country gravy. Or a new take on a crispy sandwich, crispy or spicy, piled high with goodies, and crispy chicken fried steak. If pasta's your game, they've got you covered with smooth fettuccine Alfredo topped with chicken fried steak. Now serving for a limited time, Black Bear Diner.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Do you like your web history being seen and sold to advertisers? No? Me neither. Get ExpressVPN right now at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. And while the latest news from Hurricane Ian continues to be devastating, obviously the strike by Hurricane Ian on the west coast of Florida has had some dire consequences. Some hundreds of people apparently missing. The Florida government is doing an excellent job of ensuring that the resources have been brought to bear. You have emergency teams that are on the ground essentially right away looking for people, trying to help out any survivors. The state itself is mobilizing not just in terms of state resources, but also in terms of private charities. Pretty much every private institution in Florida has been mobilizing, trying to gather food and resources for people who are out of power on the west coast of Florida. The storm, Hurricane Ian, continues to actually swirl around off now the east coast of the United States. It's going to make landfall again in South Carolina. It may, in fact, be a hurricane at that point. According to the Washington Post, Ian is a hurricane once again, a storm system that re-intensified Thursday evenings. It turns toward South Carolina with 85-mile-per-hour winds, and what the National Hurricane Center called life-threatening flooding and storm surge. It's set for yet another U.S. landfall, this time near Charleston around midday on Friday. In its wake, Ian left a path of devastation in Florida, though much of the state is still making sense of the exact toll after rescue missions began on Thursday. In an evening briefing, Governor Ron DeSantis said that he expected to have mortality from the hurricane. There have been more than 700 confirmed rescues thus far. He also spoke of indescribable damage, including buildings picked up off their foundations by the intense wind. More than 2.1 million customers remain without power in Florida. In Virginia, Georgia, North Carolina, and South Carolina, governors declared states of emergency ahead of Ian's expected shift in their direction. Ron DeSantis yesterday visited the Hurricane Relief Center in Florida, and here is what he had to say.
There's going to be a lot of people that need help, and I know you guys have been on the front lines of doing that, so I just want to say thank you. We'll be back. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll probably be back, you know, every day for a while, and so we're here to help, and when you guys need anything, he knows to call. All these other people know, just give us a call, and I'll make sure Kevin gets it done. So thanks, everybody. Appreciate it.
As we say, there is now an attempt being made to rescue people who are stuck in places like Fort Myers, people who stayed in their homes because they couldn't leave or because they made a bad decision to stay in their homes. There's also an attempt to get the power back on because, again, a couple million people do not have power at this point. Governor DeSantis said they absolutely expect to have mortality again. Nobody knows the death toll at this point from this storm. For his part, President Biden did a good thing yesterday. He was asked about Florida and Governor DeSantis and his relationship with DeSantis. He was visiting FEMA. And he said that it's not worth politicizing all of this, that he and Governor DeSantis are working together, which is exactly what the president is supposed to say.
We
How would you describe your relationship and your conversation with Governor DeSantis?
It's totally irrelevant, but I'll answer it, okay? In fact, very fine. He complimented me. He thanked me for the immediate response we had. He told me how much he appreciated it, said he was extremely happy with what was going on. This is not about whether or anything having to do with our disagreements politically. This is about saving people's lives, homes, and businesses. That's what this is about. And so I've talked to him 4 or 5 times already. And it's not a matter of my disagreements with him on other items.
That is absolutely correct from the president, and good for him. He couldn't resist a little bit of a jab about climate change, because no one on the left can resist a jab about climate change, despite the fact that, once again, there's no evidence that hurricanes have become either more common or more intense around Florida thanks to climate change. That is not according to me. That is according to the head of the National Oceanographic Institute for the United States, the head of the Hurricane Center. Anyway, here is Joe Biden.
Our commitment to tackling the climate crisis, which threatens all of us, we're seeing the consequences of climate change around the world very vividly, including in the United States right now. And I know your nations feel it acutely, and for you all, it's an existential threat.
Now, some members of the media can't help but go after Ron DeSantis. The New York Times had a piece on the front page of their website going after the governor of Florida. Why? Because he voted against a boondoggle hurricane relief bill that was not a hurricane relief bill during Hurricane Sandy. So the New York Times is now just trying to retcon what happened during Hurricane Sandy. If you recall, there was a bill that was put forward by the House and Senate Republicans that was just aid for Hurricane Sandy that was voted for by all the Republicans. And then there was this enormous bill that included an extraordinary amount of pork that the Democrats put forward, and many Republicans voted against that. So the New York Times now claims that when Ron DeSantis was in Congress, he voted against aid for Sandy. That is not true. He voted in favor of aid for Sandy. He voted against a bill that included a bunch of other crap in it. But the New York Times headline, quote, DeSantis wants a no on storm aid, petitions a president he's bashed. So let me just get this straight. If the president of the United States is somebody that you politically oppose, you are no longer allowed to access the resources available from FEMA. So just to get this straight, if you were a Democratic governor during Donald Trump, you were not allowed to petition the federal government. In fact, I remember during COVID, every blue governor begging the federal government for resources. And the idea was that if Trump didn't give them the resources, it was because it was political and bad. But now if DeSantis even asks for the resources, according to the New York Times, this means that he is political and a hypocrite. You see how this dumb game works. For the New York Times, Matt Flegenheimer reporting, as a freshman congressman in 2013, Ron DeSantis was unambiguous. A federal bailout for the New York region after Hurricane Sandy was an irresponsible boondoggle, a symbol of the put it on the credit card mentality he'd come to Washington to oppose. He said, I sympathize with the victims, but his answer was no. Nearly a decade later, as his state confronts the devastation and costly destruction wrought by Hurricane Ian, Mr. DeSantis is appealing to the nation's better angels and betting on its short memory. Well, no, he's not betting on its short memory. He literally voted in favor of a certain amount of aid for Hurricane Sandy. But Barack Obama and the Democrats crammed through a bill that was way more aid than was necessary for Hurricane Sandy. This is a very open debate at the time. But again, the goal of the New York Times here is to suggest that Ron DeSantis is suddenly a socialist, that Ron DeSantis is suddenly a fan of big government. Ooh, hoo, 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 hoo. It's the stupidest form of politics here, because FEMA exists. FEMA is funded. FEMA was created specifically for this thing. And now FEMA is bringing its resources to bear. The debate over whether the federal government should be involved in solving state-level issues like this, right? That debate, I think, should be open theoretically, but it has not been open on a practical level since, as I said yesterday, about 1895. For a very, very long time in the United States, there has been an understanding the federal government is going to bring its resources to bear when there's a major natural disaster in the United States. This has been true for well over 100 years. And so this notion that Ron DeSantis is doing something unprecedented or evil or violative of his principles by, as the governor of the state, saying to FEMA, an institution created just for this, we need your help on this one, is absurd. It's also absurd because, again, they're retconning this thing, because the notion that Hurricane Sandy was the breaking point for DeSantis, and DeSantis didn't vote for it. He did vote for aid. He just didn't vote for all of the pork. In a local interview that year, DeSantis said the bill contained extraneous stuff that could not be classified as emergency spending. He said, I never made the point of saying we shouldn't do anything. He did support in favor of a relief package that was like $17 billion for Hurricane Sandy. Governor DeSantis supported an aid package in 2017 after Hurricanes Harvey, Irma, and Maria, as places like Florida, Texas, and Puerto Rico strained to recover. So, again, this is a very stupid article by the New York Times, but this is perfectly typical of the New York Times and the media looking for some sort of excuse to go after Governor DeSantis. And, of course, you have Joy Reid, the dumbest form of left-wing commentator on the air over on MSNBC doing the same thing.
Ron DeSantis had the opportunity to make that decision and say, well, should the people of New York and New Jersey, who were hit by a catastrophic hurricane, they weren't even used to, they're not even in Florida, they don't use the hurricane. Right. He said, no, that shouldn't happen. He, Marco Rubio, and other Tea Party members of Senate and House said they shouldn't have that money. It's too expensive. And now, as you said, he's now got to go hat in hand to Joe Biden for aid.
Right.
It's something he didn't even believe in as a Tea Partier.
Okay, I'm sorry, that's just a lie. But they continue to lie because, after all, Ron DeSantis is a very, very bad man. And so they have to continue to promulgate the idea that Ron DeSantis is a very, very bad man. Again, we're not going to know the extent to which the Florida government has done a good job on this hurricane until probably a week or two out. But as I said at the very beginning of this, the media is going to be looking for any indicator at all, that Ron DeSantis isn't personally rappelling from helicopters in order to save dogs in Fort Myers in order to demonstrate that he's not fit to run for the presidency in 2024 because they are scared of the governor of Florida. And so they're just making things up at this point. We'll get to more on this in just one moment. First, using the internet without ExpressVPN, it's a dumb move. It's like having a first aid kit but not keeping it stocked up. Most of the time, it's probably fine, but what's the purpose of having a first aid kit that doesn't actually have any of the stuff that you need to stop the bleeding? That's the same thing with regard to how you use the internet. I mean, you have the ability to stop people from looking at your internet traffic, but you're allowing them to? Why? Why would you do that? Every time you connect to an unencrypted network, cafes, hotels, airports, any hacker on that same network can gain access to your personal data. We're talking passwords, financial details. Your data is valuable. Hackers can make up to $1,000 per person selling personal information on the dark web. So why use ExpressVPN? Well, first of all, it creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet. Hackers can't steal your sensitive data. Also, it's easy to use. You fire up that app, you click one button, and now you're protected. We're talking about working on all of your devices, phones, laptops, tablets, and more. You can stay secure on the go. I use ExpressVPN because, frankly, what I do online is nobody's business. I'm very political, and I don't need big tech monitoring what I do. Secure your online data today. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. Get an extra 3 months for free. ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. Well, meanwhile, controversy has broken out over my friend and colleague here, Jordan Peterson. He went on Piers Morgan's show, and he was asked specifically about Olivia Wilde's brand new movie, Don't Worry, Darling, which is getting just excoriated by the critics, which is a shocker because she is one of the protected people, Olivia Wilde. She's a feminist hero. And it doesn't matter that this feminist hero made the actual star of that film, Florence Pugh, apparently extraordinarily uncomfortable on set because she was banging Florence Pugh's co-star, Harry Styles. None of that matters because Olivia Wilde is a feminist hero for making a movie that basically suggests that men want to put women back in the kitchen like it's the 1950s, etc. Well, the movie, Don't Worry, Darling, apparently one of the stars, Chris Pine, according to Olivia Wilde, is basically playing Jordan Peterson. He's supposed to be a cult leader who's trying to create a mental, I don't want to give any spoilers for this dumb movie, but apparently he's trying to create some sort of mental system that people live in, a kind of virtual reality, whereby young men can essentially train women to be put back into the kitchen. And that's what Jordan Peterson wants. And so she says that character, that Chris Pine cult leader character, is based on Jordan Peterson. So Jordan was asked about this by Piers Morgan over on Sky News. And he got rather emotional about the idea that he should not be attempting to reach out and help disaffected young men. Here was what Jordan had to say.
The film director Olivia Wilde has a new movie out, which she says is based on you, this insane man, this pseudo-intellectual hero to the incel community. Incel being these weirdo loner men. Who are despicable in many ways. Is that you? Are you the intellectual hero to these people?
Sure. Why not? You know, people have been after me for a long time because I've been speaking to disaffected young men. You know, what a terrible thing to do that is. I thought the marginalized were supposed to have a voice.
It's making you emotional talking about
that. Well, God, you know. It's very difficult to understand how demoralized people are. And certainly many young men are in that category. And you get these casual insults, these incels. What do they mean? It's like, well, these men, they don't know how to make themselves attractive to women who are very picky, and good for them. Women, like, be picky. That's your gift, man. Demand high standards from your men. Fair enough. But all these men who are alienated, it's like they're lonesome and they don't know what to do, and everyone piles abuse on them.
So the fact that Jordan gets emotional in favor of these young men, that he's attempting to give a sense of purpose, this is what the media and the left have jumped on. More on this in just a moment, but first, if you own a business, it's been a bumpy ride for the last couple of years, from the pandemic to inflation to incipient recession. I'm sure that you could use a break. Innovation Refunds can help you out. If your business has five or more employees and managed to survive COVID, you could be eligible to receive a payroll tax rebate of up to $26,000 per employee. It's not a loan. There's no payback. It is a refund on your taxes. The challenge is, how do you get your hands on it? How do you cut through the red tape? Get your business the refund money. Well, you head on over to GetRefunds.com. Their team of tax attorneys are highly trained in this little-known payroll tax refund program. They've already returned $1 billion to businesses, and they can help you, too. They do all the work, no charge up front. Simply share a percentage of the cash they get for you. Businesses of all types can qualify, including those who took PPP, nonprofits, even those that had increases in sales. To find out if your business qualifies, just head on over to GetRefunds.com, click on Qualify Me, answer a few quick questions. This payroll tax refund is only available for a limited amount of time, so you need to get started right now. Don't miss out. Head on over to GetRefunds.com. That's GetRefunds.com, 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 to start saving money today.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Alrighty, coming up, the left is ripping into Jordan Peterson because he teared up in defense of men who are sort of dispossessed and searching for answers. But of course, they want more emotional men, so what's the problem? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The tradition continues at the Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East in Bella Vista, featuring delicious steaks and seafood, chicken soup, salads, and much more. The Dry Creek Station, family-owned and operated, open since 1992, serving dinner Tuesday through Sunday from 5 to 9 p.m. with happy hour from 3 to 5. The Dry Creek Station is famous for their steamer clams. Friday through Sunday, don't miss their fabulous weekend specials. The Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East in Bella Vista. So come on down to the Dry Creek Station, where quality and value meet.
The official meeting of the business-to-business meeting is called to order. Business-to-business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
Well, I just get mine from Vista.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No, business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
32.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the media are just completely hypocritical when it comes to masculinity. First, they say that you're toxically masculine if you won't cry. And then if you tear up in defense of men who are having a rough time out there, this means that you're some sort of wimp. So there's a great hypocrisy here, right? The media and the left, they suggest that masculinity, traditional masculinity, is bad because traditional masculinity doesn't allow you to show your feelings. Then here's Jordan Peterson, a hero to a lot of young men because he stands in favor of traditional masculinity and masculine roles. And he's getting openly emotional, right? He's tearing up while talking about these people who are disaffected. So he's demonstrating to them that emotionality in public is actually not the end of the world, and the left is angry at him for that. But this goes to a broader point that is really dangerous in American life right now, and that is that a huge swath of elite opinion makers in the United States, a huge swath of our media, many members of the political left, they have decided that there's an entirely dispensable portion of the population, and this is young, disaffected men, and that is having a radical impact on how people live. I'm not just talking about men here. I'm talking about women, too. It turns out that women are generally not in favor of androgynous, feminized men. They do not like it. The statistics on female happiness over the course of the last half century have not demonstrated increased female happiness with the androgynization of gender. They have not created extraordinary levels of female happiness with later marriage and less childbearing and rearing. It's not good for women. It's particularly not good for men. The stats on men right now are devastating in the United States. David Brooks has a piece today in the New York Times titled "The Crisis of Men and Boys." He says, if you've been paying attention to the social trends, you probably have some inkling that boys and men are struggling in the United States and across the globe. They're struggling in the classroom. American girls are 14 percentage points more likely to be school ready than boys at age 5, controlling for parental characteristics. By high school, 2/3 of the students in the top 10% of the class, ranked by GPA, are girls. Roughly 2/3 of the students at the lowest decile are boys. In 2020, at the 16 top American law schools, not a single one of the flagship law reviews had a man as editor-in-chief. Men are struggling in the workplace. 1 in 3 American men with only a high school diploma, 10 million men, is now out of the labor force. The biggest drop in employment is among young men aged 25 to 34. Men who entered the workforce in 1983 will earn about 10% less in real terms in their lifetimes than those who started one generation earlier. Over the same period, women's lifetime earnings have increased 33%. Pretty much all of the income gains middle-class American families have enjoyed since 1970 are because of increases in women's earnings. Now, all of that would be perfectly well and good if the net happiness here were up. It is not. Men are also struggling physically. Men account for close to 3 out of every 4 deaths of despair, suicide, and drug overdoses. For every 100 middle-aged women who die of COVID up to mid-September 2021, there are 184 middle-aged men who died. Richard Reeves' new book of Boys and Men is a landmark, one of the most important books of the year, not only because it's a comprehensive look at the male crisis, but also because it searches for the roots of that crisis and offers solutions. Policies and programs designed to promote social mobility often work for women, but not men. Reeves, a scholar at the Brookings Institution, that's a liberal think tank, visited Kalamazoo, Michigan, where thanks to a donor, high school graduates get to go to colleges in the state for free. The program increased the number of women getting college degrees by 45%. The men's graduation rates remain flat. Reeves lists a whole series of programs, from early childhood education to college support efforts, that produced impressive gains for women but did not boost men. There are many reasons men are struggling, according to David Brooks. For example, the decline in manufacturing jobs that put a high value on physical strength, the rise of service sector jobs. But I was struck by the theme of demoralization that wafts through the book. Reeves talked to men in Kalamazoo about why women were leaping ahead. They said women are more motivated, work harder, plan ahead better, but this isn't a matter of individual responsibility. There's something in modern culture that is producing an aspiration gap. Many men just seem less ambitious. More men are leading haphazard and lonely lives. Roughly 15% of men say they have no close friends, up from 3% in 1990. 1 in 5 fathers doesn't live with his children. In 2014, more young men were living with their parents than with a wife or partner. Apparently, even many who are married are not ideal mates. Wives are now twice as likely to initiate divorces as their husband. So David Brooks says ambition doesn't just happen, it has to be fired. The culture is still searching for a modern masculine ideal. It is not instilling in many boys the nurturing and emotional skills that are so desperately important today. A system that labels more than 1/5 of all boys developmentally disabled is not instilling in them a sense of confidence and competence. Masculinity has gone haywire. And then, of course, he has the obligatory, because he's David Brooks, rip on Republicans. Reverting to pseudo-macho cartoons like Donald Trump and Josh Hawley doesn't help. What? I was completely unaware that the alternatives here were the complete feminization of men and Donald Trump. Like, I love that. He's unwilling to acknowledge the obvious. What has happened here is the sexual revolution has castrated men in terms of their ambition, in terms of their mobility. That is what the sexual revolution did, and it did not make women happier. That is the dirty little secret here. The second wave, third wave feminist movement did not make women happier, and it made men a lot unhappier. And what we are seeing here is the impact of that. David Brooks is afraid to say it, because if you say that sort of thing, people get very angry at you. You violated the rules. Now, I'm not making the case that women shouldn't be in the workplace, that they shouldn't be able to get the jobs that they want. I'm making the case that traditional social roles, traditional gender roles, absolutely matter. Again, I will cite my wife as a perfect example of this. My wife is a doctor. She's a primary care physician. I took care of the kids while she was in medical school. I remember at 7 o'clock every night, I would drive our two very young children at the time. My daughter was all of about 2.5 years old, and my son was a newborn. And I would drive them to the hospital where she was in residency so she could see them for like 25 minutes while she ate her dinner, and then she would head back inside to the residency program. So I'm very much in favor of the idea that women should be able to work the jobs that they want to work. Also, life is a balance, and my wife does that beautifully. My wife took off time to take care of both of our kids when they were babies. And now, because she has the ability to, she wants to work part-time so she can spend more time with the kids. This is not a rare coincidence. This is kind of the ideal life as women seek to live it. But the feminist movement has told women that all of that is very bad. Having a husband is bad. It's a sign that you are weak as a woman. Having children is really bad. The height of being a woman is to have an abortion. Alrighty, coming up, the sexual revolution, the complete revamping of what human beings were supposed to be and do, that has robbed men of their souls. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Life is too short to be uninformed.
The Armstrong and Getty Show, 9 to noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReadingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Aloha, this is Kevin, Operations Manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
If you trust the government, if you believe the misinformation they're telling you is fact, you won't like our show, Poke the Hornet's Nest.
Hi, I'm your host, Doug Janke, and along with co-host Nick Gardner, we'll expose the dark side of governmental deception and misinformation from our local level, statewide, and to the national and world views.
On second thought, maybe the government believers should listen to the view of two middle-class, well-informed, working Americans.
Be sure to tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday right here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM, 8 to 9 every other Sunday morning.
And remember, you don't have to believe the artificial intelligence these people with college degrees are telling you, because sometimes they're misleading you. Listen to the other side of the news.
Philip.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the sexual revolution was supposed to be essentially the devil's playground for men. In reality, what it ended up doing was robbing men of their purpose. Sexual revolution's effect on men has been extraordinarily bad. Now, there are a lot of men out there who took advantage of the sexual revolution. It turns out that sexual liberation, really good for horny men. The availability of people to have sex with who you are not married to skyrocketed. So for guys who wanted to have sex with lots and lots of partners, which is many, many men, this was just a boon. It was wonderful for them. But it also robbed men of their soul, because the entire idea of traditional masculinity is that men have aggressive instincts. Men have aggressive physical, sexual, work instincts. Men are more aggressive. They have testosterone. This is evolutionary biology. This is not stereotyping. It's true among primates. It's true among human beings. And because of that, we have evolved as a species many institutions that are designed to channel that traditional masculine aggressive energy toward good purposes, toward defending hearth and home. I said this about the military, got ripped earlier this week. Well, it's perfectly obvious that this is the case. That military service, for example, was a traditionally male pursuit. And that was not a bad thing. Because men are the ones who are going to charge hills and kill each other on behalf of hearth and home. As a general rule throughout human history, there are exceptions, because every rule has exceptions, but that does not mean the rule does not exist. So we created all of these institutions, ranging from military service to fatherhood and the man staying in the home, and monogamy, and taking care of the kids. And we gave men roles. That did not mean that we were supposed to let men get away with toxic masculinity. Toxic masculinity would be, you know, actual violence against women, or being promiscuous, or abandoning your children. We see a lot more toxic masculinity, by the way, in the aftermath of the sexual revolution than we saw before. Because I consider it toxic masculinity to knock up a woman and then leave your child and abandon them. That's like the worst thing that you can do to a woman and to the child. And we see a lot of that these days. And we're told that that is liberation. It's not liberation for the woman who's now taking care of the kid by herself. It ain't liberation for the child who doesn't have a father. And it's not liberation for the man either. Because it turns out that all it does is it frees him to be a perennial adolescent who is unhappy and useless. What Jordan Peterson says is the same thing that I say. The burdens that you take on in life, the obligations you take on in life with regard to roles and family and children, these are what liberate you. They are what give you fulfillment. We are a liberation-centered society in which the only thing that matters is your interior feeling at any given point in time. Fulfillment does not come from that interior sense of happiness at any given point in time. The man who eats tons of ice cream and dies at age 35 of a heart attack because of morbid obesity did not live a happy life, even though every time he ate the ice cream, he felt really good about himself. Human beings have always understood for literally all time that there is a difference between the immediate joy of doing a thing that brings you happiness and the lifelong joy of taking on obligations that are very difficult and that make your life worse in many ways, but in the end make your life a hell of a lot better. That's what it's like to be married. That's what it's like to have kids. You give up something, and what you get in return is something far greater. And then we blew up those institutions in the name of this liberal utopian ideal of atomistic individualism in which the sexual identity that you take on is the most important thing in life. That is the only thing that matters in life. And again, the results have been dire. They've been disastrous for Western civilization as a whole. More on this in a moment. First,
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Nicholas Eberstadt has a good book out called Men Without Work. He works at American Enterprise Institute. And that book is based on an essay he wrote in January of 2018, talking about how American men are simply falling apart. He says the catastrophe is the collapse of work for men. In the half century between 1965 and 2015, work rates for the American male spiraled relentlessly downward. An ominous migration commenced, a flight from work, which ever greater numbers of working-age men exited the labor force altogether. America is now home to an ever-growing army of jobless men, no longer even looking for work. Over 7 million between ages 25 and 55, the traditional prime of working life. Now, there are some people who are blaming offshoring of jobs to China, right? That's the easy, convenient excuse. But the reality is, we have far more open jobs in this country than we have people who are willing to seek those open jobs. That's been true for years in the United States. The labor force participation rate in this country is in the mid-60s. We're talking for working-age people in the United States. How big is our men without work problem today? Consider a single fact. In 2015, the work rate for American males aged 25 to 54 was slightly lower than it had been in 1940 at the tail end of the Great Depression. They were talking when the overall unemployment rate in 1940 was like 11% in the United States. Now, in 2015, you have an overall unemployment rate of like 5%. And you still have a work rate that is lower for men than in 1940. According to the latest official jobs report data available in 2018, the work rate for prime-age men in November 2017 was still below the 1940 level. The progressive detachment of ever larger numbers of adult men from the reality and routines of regular paid labor poses a self-evident threat to our nation's future prosperity. It can only result in lower living standards, greater economic disparities, and slower economic growth than we might otherwise expect. The troubles posed by the male flight from work, says Nick Eberstadt, are by no means solely economic. It's also a social crisis and a moral crisis. The growing incapability of grown men to function as breadwinners cannot help but undermine the American family. By the way, you know what creates the capacity for men to act as breadwinners? Marriage, family, obligations, people who lean on you. And so the idea of radical independence, where people don't lean on each other, I lean on my wife, she leans on me, that is the nature of the marriage. In Hebrew, the word for love is ahava, right? The root of that word is hav, which means to give. The root of love is giving. And one thing that you can give your spouse is your vulnerability. One thing that you can give your spouse is a sense that you need your spouse. The notion that spouses are people who actually don't need each other, they just sort of get together for a contractual arrangement, it's not true. It has never been true. And modern society, once you do that, then actually you get far less out of a marriage than you are putting into the marriage. There's no reason to get married at all. You're basically roommates who have sex with one another. That's not a basis on which to build a happy life. Among those who should be most capable of shouldering the burdens of civic responsibilities, all of this, says Nick Eberstadt, encourages sloth, idleness, and vices perhaps more insidious. Whether we choose to recognize it or not, this feature of the American condition, the new men without work normal, is inimical to our tradition. It is subversive of our national ethos, arguably even of our civilization. You want to know why you have seen vast increases in pornography use among young men in the United States? It is not mere availability. It is also because they are not involved in institutions like family, like church, that actually give them something to do. You want to know why men are increasingly abusing drugs? This would be the reason. You want to know why suicidal ideation is up among men? This would be the reason. Going all the way back to Emile Durkheim, there's been a widespread sociological understanding that societal institutions hem in and provide a rationale for existence. And when you blow up all of those roles, which is what the sexual revolution was about, it's about the idea that you have to blow up all these things because all roles and rules are inhibitions that are placed upon your true self. But what if your true self, that aimless, formless, chaotic sexual impulse, what if that doesn't make you happy? And what if a society that pushes that is not geared toward human happiness? What if it's offering you the sugar high, but then you die of morbid obesity at age 35? Because that's exactly what's going on in our society right now. You can see it in the way that companies now market. And so, for example, Virgin Airlines put out an ad talking about how they are the queerest airline. This is the thing they're very, very proud of, because your identity is in, apparently, the clothes that you wear, your sexual activity, your gender identity. It is not in actually like a social role. It's all about the idea that you, all human beings, are basically fully formed adults who are allowed to and should act as children with regards to their sexual impulse. That is the thing that matters most of all. The world is supposed to reflect you. Social roles are an inhibition. The world is supposed to reflect your innermost identity, and that's the case over at Virgin Airlines. It says your identity, your choice, because they're now allowing all of the members of their staff to dress in whatever they want. And so now you've got women who are dressing as men and men who are dressing as women. Our new uniform code, says Virgin Airlines. Virgin Atlantic, see the world. Well, isn't that great? And then you have a man who is dressed in women's clothing at the end of that. Again, when you completely obliterate the distinction between the sexes, you lose the rationale for there being different sexes. You lose the social institutions that have evolved over the course of literally hundreds of thousands of years. When you have the Planned Parenthood director of France Care out there saying, in a well-accepted viewpoint on the left now, that men get pregnant, if there's no distinction between men and women, then what exactly is the role of men and what exactly is the role of women, and why should men take on additional obligation? Here's the testimony of Planned Parenthood's director of trans care, Dr. Bhavik Kumar.
Dr. Kumar, can biological men become pregnant and give birth?
So men can have pregnancies, especially trans men.
Okay, so the question was, can a biological man give birth? And the noted doctor here just ignores the question entirely and pretends that men can have babies and give birth. Roles matter. Rules matter. Because these are things that give us purpose in life. A man on a desert island by himself has no rules. He has no roles. He is also going to be a deeply unhappy human being. Without those roles, without any sort of purpose or meaning, people fall apart. And this is why what we're seeing now is an upswing, sort of return to the idea that maybe some more traditional forms of, for example, courtship might be a good thing. We'll get to that in just one second. First,
NobleGoldInvestments.com. Inflation is not only a real concern, the rate seems only to be trending upwards. The financial experts are saying gold could hit as high as $2,400 by 2023. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com today. A precious metals IRA acts like a shield for inflation. Noble Gold specializes in storing the value of your wealth through gold IRAs, so they're truly a natural choice for your retirement portfolio. Act now, and with any qualified purchase, write or mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. You heard right. Just mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Don't let inflation affect you or your retirement. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. NobleGoldInvestments.com. Investment involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee future results.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Alrighty, coming up, a story about the diversification of the U.S. military and its wonderful side effects. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
It's the Ramsey Show, where we talk about your life and your money. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
By 2030, it is estimated that there will be 71 million people aged 65 years old and older in America. As the number of older Americans increases, so will the number of caregivers needed to provide care. According to PSA2 Area Agency on Aging, caregiver burnout can occur. Be aware of the warning signs. Emotional and physical exhaustion, withdrawal from friends, family, and other loved ones, loss of interest in activities which you previously enjoyed, changes in appetite, weight, or sleep patterns, getting sick more often, feelings of alienation, helplessness, or hopelessness, excessive use of alcohol, medications, or sleeping pills, feeling stressed in a patient's presence. If you recognize the warning signs, contact PSA2 Area Agency on Aging at 530-842-1687 for your free caregiver support books. Call 530-842-1687 or visit our website at psa2.org.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading, where you can enjoy the comfort of your vehicle, including the air conditioning, while they remove the smoke and grime, debris, and other deposits that can build up on your vehicle and possibly damage the finish and paint. Quick and Clean Car Wash packages start at only $9. Or buy 5 car wash coupons, get one free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons, get 3 free. Stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean. KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at kcnr1460.com. Tune in to Mark Levin, Dave Ramsey, and Ben Shapiro. Plus, don't miss our local shows, including Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So, a more diverse military is a stronger military, except when the first trans officer actually is handing information to the Russians. Then it's just awkward. The media have been attempting to sort of bury the lead in this particular story, but apparently the U.S. Army's first transgender officer and his wife, a Maryland doctor, were indicted on conspiracy charges Wednesday for allegedly attempting to transfer confidential military medical information to Russia. The 8-count indictment was unsealed Thursday upon the arrest of the defendants, Major Jamie Lee Henry and anesthesiologist Anna Gabriellen. According to a Department of Justice press release, the Army granted Henry's request to officially change his name in accordance with his gender preference in 2015, prior to Henry's case, identifying as a sex different than the one on one's birth certificate made a soldier unfit for military service, warranting discharge. Gabriellen worked at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, referred to as Medical Institution 1 in the indictment, located in Baltimore, Maryland. Henry, who is also a doctor, worked as a staff internist stationed at Fort Bragg. The pair are accused of stealing patient health files from Johns Hopkins and Fort Bragg and giving them to an individual they believe to be working for the Russian government. So much historicness happening in the U.S. Army. That is excellent stuff. Okay, so here's the thing. As we blow up all of these traditional gender roles, as we blow all this up, and as people become more unhappy, as men drop out of the workforce and lose their purpose, as women become essentially working widgets, they become the inputs for capitalist growth without actually fulfilling many of the things that drive women in life. And they were lied to by the feminist movement, by the way. They're told they could have it all. It turns out you cannot, because the one thing on planet Earth that is finite is time. Well, it turns out people are really unhappy. And so there's now a newfound embrace. You can't call it this. You can't say that it's traditional Judeo-Christian values. You can't say that because it alienates too many people. But there is a newfound embrace of that happening because, again, those values are rooted in institutions that have been evolved over the course of hundreds of thousands of years to be good for human beings. Really good essay today by a person named Michal Leibowitz, an editorial assistant over at the New York Times op-ed section, called Dating is Broken, Going Retro Could Fix It. Quote, among the traditional rites of an all-American high school experience is the taking and judging of yearbook photos. And in this, my all-girls Orthodox Jewish school is no exception. Our dialogue as we swap prints was more Fiddler on the Roof than Sweet Valley High. Are you going to use that for your shidduch resume? Shidduch resume is how people basically date in the Orthodox Jewish community. So you put together an actual resume with a picture on it, and you submit it to what's called the Shadchan, which is like a third-party person who then thinks of all the people they know who are your age, and they fix them up because they're fixing you up not to have sex with one another. They're fixing you up for the possibility of shared values, marriage, and children. In other words, dating with a purpose. It turns out that doing everything with a purpose is significantly better for human fulfillment than doing things without a purpose. All of Western life seems to be predicated now on the opposite. Purpose hems you in. No purpose makes you free. No purpose also makes you depressed and suicidal as a general rule. It was a joke, mostly. Though many of my peers, she says, would go on to make the dating profiles favored by Orthodox matchmakers, most wouldn't do so for more than a few years. By then, our 17-year-old acne-studied panim would be poor likenesses. But the joke reflected something that was true. Even as high schoolers, many of us knew how we planned to meet our spouses. And it wasn't going to be the loosey-goosey way the secular world did it. Well, there's also something else there. In Orthodox Jewish high school, you think about getting married. You're 17, you're already thinking about marriage. When you go to an Orthodox Jewish high school, this is true in Catholic high schools as well. This is true in religious Protestant high schools. Basically, religious, it's true in madrasas. Religious institutions in the United States, by the time you hit close to marriageable age, which is 18 and up, you're already thinking about marriage. Which means that you're already thinking about the values, not just the looks, but the values of the person who you want to be with. And this means that you're already channeling your life toward a particular purpose. You know, the highest purpose that we were put on God's green earth to do, which is to have children and raise them correctly, says this columnist, Michal Leibowitz. It's been odd the past several years watching the ways the secular mainstream has latched tentatively, faddishly, onto traditional dating practices. There's the slew of matchmaking companies sorting out the love lives of the rich and famous. The article is declaring matchmaking is hot again. The Netflix carousel filled with shows casting back to an older, if partly imagined, vision of romance. Indian matchmaking, Married at First Sight, Bridgerton. A reacquaintance with more traditional forms of meeting and falling in love makes me hopeful. I see signs of a culture grasping for things it rightly needs. In today's largely online world, burnout, opacity, and callousness define dating, reflecting the values of a society that prizes individualism, privacy, and choice in nearly all things, including matters of the heart. But while dating is more convenient than it has ever been, people find dates while sitting on the toilet, it is clearly falling short. There are elements of traditional dating culture that can provide solutions, not just to the way we find people to date, but also to the way we navigate relationships. Now, here's the thing. What traditional dating does, because you're literally asking yourself, is this a person I wish to have children with? Because of that, this actually incentivizes men to be better. When it turns out that dating is just about the sexual pleasure to be obtained from a new partner at any given point, the most attractive of both sexes will tend to do the best, obviously. When it comes to marriage, now you can actually better yourself in certain ways. It's funny, I was watching a Bill Burr comedy special last night, and he was talking about how women tear each other down, how women are very nasty to each other privately, and then they will say to somebody, they'll say that they're fat positive, they're body positive, but meanwhile, behind their back, they'll talk about how she just looks terrible, I would never look like that. But what Bill Burr says, he says, women look at models very often like, you know, that's setting up unrealistic expectations for men. And he says, yeah, like every time I look at Brad Pitt on screen, he takes off his shirt, I'm not like, man, they're setting up unrealistic expectations for me. He's like, I know, I'm overweight, I'm bald, I'm orange. And so I had to get really good at comedy in order to get chicks. This is the way that men typically have bettered themselves, to make yourself more attractive to the opposite sex. This means get an education, get a job, demonstrate that you are responsible. Do the things that would demonstrate that you are capable and worthy of having children with a particular woman. By the way, exactly what Jordan Peterson says. He says women should be picky. In fact, one of the bigger problems right now is that women are not particularly picky about the men that they date. Because they're not dating for marriage, they're not dating for kids. So what does that mean? It means no one is actually dating with an eye toward upping their social value as an aspect of getting married. This columnist for the New York Times, Michal Leibowitz, says it's worth asking, is it time to court again? In October 2019, Pew conducted a survey to understand Americans' attitudes toward romantic relationships. Most daters told Pew their romantic lives weren't going well. Three quarters of respondents said it was difficult to find people to date. When asked why finding a date was so difficult, reasons varied by gender. Women tended to say it's challenging to find someone who meets their expectations or is looking for the same type of relationship. Men mostly said they have trouble approaching people. These complaints seem counterintuitive. Internet dating promises an abundance of choice to meet any standard, a profusion of filters to suit any relationship, low barriers to reaching out to relieve any anxiety. But now, as I found when I talked to people about what it's like to date, the theoretical abundance of options, filters, low barriers to engagement doesn't translate to high-quality interactions. Instead, daters find themselves caught in a cycle of unanswered messages and dead-end interactions, contributing to a ubiquitous feeling of dating app burnout. Again, this is because men and women are typically looking for different things when they are dating, unless you have institutions that incentivize men to look for the correct things when they are dating. Yes, that institution of marriage. It turns out that the general societal standard that applied for most of human history, which was, you're supposed to put off your sex life until you get married, that this was a really good disincentive to men simply looking to get laid, that they were actually going to have to sacrifice something, demonstrate that they were worthwhile. Michal Leibowitz says one of the ironies of modern dating is that while it's not uncommon to date for months or even years without broaching the big questions about marriage and children, Other forms of intimacy tend to be embraced more quickly. Almost all Americans have sex before getting married. That's been true for decades, but the normalization of casual sex is newer. It's not clear newer norms around having sex casually or very soon after meeting are really helping those who ultimately want lasting, committed relationships. I remember noting this while watching Friends back in the 1990s. In the religious community, here's how it goes. You fall in love, you get married, you have sex, right? That is the order of events in traditional communities. In the modern community, the way that it works is have sex, maybe fall in love, and maybe you may get married. So you'll have the most intimate relationship that you can have with a person. And then you'll be like, man, I'm really nervous about saying I love you. You wonder why things are failing? The sexual revolution has crippled men and women. And so no matter how pissed the left is at Jordan Peterson, the reason they're really pissed at Jordan Peterson is he's reminding them of a simple fact. The social standards that they have said was the bargain, right? You're supposed to blow up all these institutions. You're supposed to completely reshape society around a promise. Jordan is noting that the cost of that promise is really high. And it's not just to quote unquote incels. It's to everyone. And that's why people are pissed at Jordan. But reality always wins. And the utopian stupidity of atomistic individualism when it comes to sexual liberation is crippling societies. That shouldn't be a shock. When you run directly into the teeth of reality, reality tends to bite. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Stocks ended September down 9.3%, the worst month since March 2020. Correspondent Norman Hall reports.
Wall Street closed out a miserable September with the S&P's worst monthly skid since March 2020, when the coronavirus pandemic crashed global markets. It ended the month with a 9.3% loss and posted its third straight losing quarter. It's now at its lowest level since November 2020. It's down by more than a quarter since the start of the year. The main reason financial markets continue to struggle is fear about a possible recession as interest rates soar with hopes of beating down the high inflation that swept the world. The Dow dropped 500 points. The Nasdaq slid nearly 162 points. I'm Norman Hall.
Well, Ian is no longer a hurricane after reaching land in South Carolina. Ed Donahue has more.
Some piers have been wiped out along the South Carolina coast, and there is flooding nowhere near the damage from Ian in Florida. Among the destroyed buildings in Fort Myers Beach, under a pile of rubble, a man was found. He was a bit groggy.
Where are you at? You're in Fort Myers.
Boats were used to rescue people from flooded homes. Andy Holbert went by boat to her flooded home in Orlando.
We just were luckily able to grab some of our stuff and sleep.
Kevin Flynn lives in Charleston, South Carolina.
We watched the hurricane all day. We saw it go past us up the coast. So we felt like we were on the good side of it.
President Biden says he's directing every possible action be taken to save lives and get help to survivors. I'm Ed Donahue.
Police say five fatal shootings in California could be the work of a serial killer. At a news conference Friday, Stockton Police Chief Stanley McFadden said, by definition, you could probably very well call this serial killings. McFadden told residents to be careful walking alone at night and be aware of surroundings at all times. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The fact of pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at relieffactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. Relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Be the next success story.
And now a small business setback delivered by a kind French stranger.
Monsieur, there was an accident. The windshield of your catering is, how do you say, kaput? But Progressive has an extensive network of repair shops. Now, we think about the old days. Brave marin, rivière de guerre.
When things go wrong with your small business, it's comforting to know you have Progressive Commercial. Get a quote in as little as 6 minutes at progressivecommercial.com.
Croissance for everyone!
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Coverage subject to policy terms and conditions.
A victory for prayer.
A federal appeals court in New Orleans has ruled that a Texas judge may start the day with prayer, overturning a district court decision. Judges on the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans split 2-1 in opinions handed down Thursday. The majority said Montgomery County Justice of the Peace Wayne Mack doesn't force anyone to attend the prayers before court formally opens. The third judge says he thinks that finding suggests willful blindness and indisputable error. Keith Peters reporting.
Students walk out of Farmington High in Minnesota Wednesday in protest of a leaked email. School administrators were talking about the backlash they were getting after ditching homecoming king and queen and replacing it with the gender-neutral term homecoming royalty. In an email, the assistant principal, Laura Wagner, told staff, quote, "This would be a great time to use your straight white privilege to reassure and support students." Parents and students say it's another example of the school district's woke agenda. News and analysis at townhall.com. Police and witnesses say a suicide attack at a tuition center in the Afghan capital, Kabul, has killed at least 19 people, most of them female students.
The explosion took place on Friday morning local time at the Kaj Education Center, where students had gathered to take a mock exam in preparation for university admissions. The attacker is reported to have shot at the guards outside the center, entered the classroom, and detonated a bomb. Eyewitnesses have told the BBC that most of those killed are female students. The center is located in a neighborhood dominated by people from the Hazara ethnic minority. So far, no group has claimed responsibility for the bombing.
BBC correspondent Yugita LeMay reporting. Voters in Kuwait choose to shake up their parliament and send two women to the assembly in the Gulf Arab nation's second election in less than 2 years. The results were seen as a vote for change amid a prolonged period of gridlock. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
You're listening to Classic Chris, The Chris Plant Show.
We have created nearly 10,000 million jobs since President Biden took office, which is the fastest job growth in history.
Well, it certainly would be. You got to admit that. 10,000 million jobs, that is much more impressive than... Why hadn't they made that public before? That's Karine Jean-Pierre. 10,000 million jobs have been created. You're welcome, world. You can thank us later. You know, the creation of 10,000 million jobs doesn't happen every day. You're probably aware. Well, happy Tuesday to you and welcome. It's not Monday. You might think happy Monday, but it's actually happy too because yesterday was Labor Day, which the Democrats celebrate in a different way than, you know, you saw the Chinese. They're in Congo, strip mining the place to get the rare earth elements to make the batteries for your Tesla and your telephone. And it's slave labor. The Chinese communists, they have slavery in China. They're bringing slavery back to Africa. No labor standards, no wages, no environmental standards. And the Democrats are great with that. I talked about the island. It was in the Philippines, right? Philippines or Indonesia, I believe the Philippines. The Chinese went in and completely destroyed the island that these people had lived on since the dawn of time. Now it's uninhabitable, kind of like the planet Earth is going to be in, 7 years? I think it's 7 years. Clock is ticking out loud, like Marissa Tomei's biological clock. It's ticking. The planet is on the brink. It's going to be uninhabitable if you're 15 years old. By the time you're like 23, the planet is going to be uninhabitable. I know this because there's a Democrat member of Congress who was raising her child on this. Katie Porter, Congresswoman Katie Porter, who loves to terrify her 9-year-old daughter with the apocalypse and doom just around the corner. Because, you know, Katie Porter wants her daughter to be crying, sobbing, hysterical, psychotic, looking for some kind of a tall thing to...
The earth is on fire, and we're all going to die soon.
There you go. That's a message for every child, I think. And how does she really know her daughter is her daughter? Has she asked? Because, you know, maybe her daughter is her son. Maybe she's just trapped in a body that's not hers. You know, I think it was Mike the Lib, wasn't it? We were talking to Michael Piercy, and I were talking about this last week. I think it was Mike the Lib, who, famous Mike the Lib, he's been calling in forever, and we love Mike the Lib in a special way. And, and Mike the Lib was on the phone. He said that, sometimes God makes mistakes on gender issues, and puts people in the wrong, you know, the body with the wrong gender. And fortunately, the Democrat Party is here to fix all that. How many genders are there?
I don't know, Chris.
You don't know. See, that's one of the problems.
But now there's because technology has allowed us, medical science has allowed to correct errors. Errors in genetic makeup.
All right, so God makes errors in genetic makeup, but fortunately, modern science has allowed us.
He does.
So,
only God that makes errors. That's why we have cancer. That's why we have viruses.
There you go. So the Democrats have figured it out, and they're fixing. You know, God makes a lot of mistakes, makes a lot of errors, and that's okay because the Democrats are here. So fear not. They're like underdog. They're quite remarkable, these people. So in any event, welcome on this Tuesday. It's a 4-day work week for those who follow such things. Yesterday was a day off for a great many of us because Labor Day, you know, and all that good stuff. And there is, once again, I mean, a 3-day weekend. I still have to check on the crime stats for Chicago, which I've not updated. We have to do that after every weekend and certainly 3-day weekends because, you know, the Democrats are, it's the roadmap to the future. They're showing us how to run cities and states and countries and how to run the world. And it's not going to be a good century at this rate. Not at all. But I gotta check Chicago. And I picked up my Washington Post today. I do that so that millions and millions of people don't have to. Their little edition today is filled with remarkable things, just kind of amazing things all over the place. Crime and mayhem and disease and drug overdoses and open borders. And they don't describe any of it that way, of course, but remarkable things and a lot of race stories. You'll be surprised to learn. The Washington Post, the front page and everywhere. Got it crazy. You see the mass murder in Canada, where they've made gun ownership very difficult. So these two crazy people used knives, and they murdered 10 people and wounded 15 more. Now, one of them, there are two, looks like they're brothers, and one is dead. And the other, there's a manhunt out for the other. How do they know he's a man? Well, it's really a manhunt, because that is misandry, I think, to assume that he's a man just because of his outward appearance. How do they know that's not a woman trapped in a man's body that committed those terrible crimes? Why does it always have to be a man? So we've got the crazy, but they used knives because guns are hard to get by, and I assume that knives will have to be banned now because, you know, Democrats and the left. So we've got that going for us. Now, lots of madness in today's Washington Post. I got this left-wing guy's lifelong reporter. I actually used to work with him. When he was in the news business. Now he's just a left-wing reporter. Thomas E. Ricks, I've stopped fearing the U.S. is headed for civil war. He stopped fearing that. He feels that Biden has it under control, you know, with the MAGA hate stuff. Speaking of which, Joe Biden was driving around yesterday, and he took Air Force One to a couple of places and said some hateful things in Wisconsin and in Pennsylvania. And there was at least one funny sign, one road sign, waiting for his motorcade that was reported back to me. Kind of funny, you know. Funny is a sliding scale these days. There is some funny stuff. And he was driving around, there is a because he's a complete knucklehead. Put a sign along the motorcade route, said, buy more crack, Hunter. Buy more crack, Hunter. You know, when you're Joe Biden, you know, you're really, your entire existence is a stain on history. It's a stain on humanity. We'll get into that. And the, Joe Biden, he was out there hating Americans. He hates Americans and America too. You know, he's not on our side. And I don't just mean like, you know, MAGA Republicans. The hate speech last week, you know, the hate speech from hell, with, you don't have to turn on the red light, the, Roxanne speech. It was the most hate-filled presidential speech read from any Western country in modern times. And, the media and the Democrats there, but I repeat myself, are good with that. They're good with the hate. They love the hate, you know? And of course, in order to love the hate, you have to hate the love. That's part and parcel of the whole thing. But we've got Joe Biden. First, he gave the hate speech from hell with the Satan lighting. And I think the after-school Satan Club was in charge of the lighting for the hate speech. And then the next day, that was Thursday, the next day, Friday, he was asked by Peter Doocy, of course, because no one else has ever asked him a question. They just coo and fluff and use more chapstick, and that's about it. But he said, no, I didn't say that. And then he went back to saying, you know, that he hates everybody and that everybody is really terrible. And then he ordered his, it looked like this rally had about 200 people. You see, it's about to, so President Trump had a rally, filled another stadium. You know, he's like Manchester United. And Joe Biden, I think that, honestly, John Hinckley sells more tickets to his performances that never happen than Joe Biden. Because, you know, John Hinckley sells out the Democrats. They buy tickets. They want to see him play the guitar. Maybe he'll kill somebody. Because you know how they love killing people, the Democrats. Yeah, Biden got back to attacking the terrible MAGA GOP and the members of Congress, who he said are full of anger, violence, and hate. The members of Congress, that's... Now, what, were they raising bail money for looters like your vice president was? Were they getting murderers released, put back on the streets so they could kill again? You know, like that Capitol police officer that shot Ashley Babbitt. He's been held accountable, I think, hasn't he? Yeah, he got an award. I think he got an award and praise and maybe a promotion. So the even the media has been embarrassed and shamed to the point where they talked about Joe Biden's and the White House's startling efforts to blame Trump for the COVID school closures. They attacked him for wanting to open the schools and the Republicans, and they attacked Ron DeSantis in Florida for opening schools, and they praised Gavin Newsom for keeping schools closed. And the teachers' unions, which are corrupt communist, anti-child, anti-American, anti-capitalist, corrupt organizations, stealing money and then abusing it, you know, on behalf of the Democrat Party from their members, of course. They don't represent the students or the children. They represent the dues-paying members. Keep that in mind at all times. But they insisted that we keep the schools closed. And then the White House, because they lie all the time, the White House lied. No, it was Trump that made the schools close. And you notice that the communist Chinese and their Wuhan Institute of Virology never part of the discussion, right? Crazy. So I got that for you. And the one headline, Democrats try to rewrite history around school closings. Oh, they do that all the time. They have the 1619 Project. They can rewrite yesterday's history, last week, last month, 20 years ago. They rewrite it all. That's what they do. They have the instincts of authoritarian dictatorships. They're the left. They're not liberals. So amazing stuff. And Jamie Raskin, he's the lost Marx brother. Do you know this guy? He's a Democrat member of Congress. He's a sad, tragic figure. Jamie Raskin defends Biden's insane, incendiary rhetoric, says that denying elections and embracing political violence, he says, are hallmarks of a fascist political party. I have a 10-minute montage for you today of Democrats denying election victories when they lost them. And then, of course, the political violence, which they've normalized from coast to coast. You know, from the 1960s through today, even before, they're the terrorist groups from the SDS and the Weather Underground. And, you know, they Jamie Raskin, I think, is talking once again, talking about himself, the navel-gazing, navel-circling clown, Jamie Raskin. Yeah, you know, I think you might be right. Denying elections and political violence are hallmarks of a fascist political party. Well, I mean, I got to say, Republicans have one on the political violence. You guys have several thousand points on the board when it comes to political violence, injuring thousands of police, looting thousands of stores, burning thousands of places. And that's just in the last couple of years. You know, if we want to go back in time, the bombings of government buildings and police stations. And, you know, you guys have suicide attackers. It's so common now for you guys to have suicide attacks. Democrats dying while murdering, usually police, maybe trying to murder members of Congress, Steve Scalise, you know. But, you know, yeah, you're right. You're damn fascist. You are. Smell yourself, Jamie Raskin, because you're obviously not bright enough to. I'll try to help you out here, though. And yeah, and then Biden says Republicans are election deniers. Really? Shall we go through again? We played some of it last week. 2000, 2004, 2016, every presidential election in the 21st century that the Democrats have lost, they've contested, and they're still contesting. In many cases, like, how's Governor Stacey Abrams coming along? Is she doing it? How about Hillary Clinton? Is she president yet? Because she claims that the election in 16 was stolen, and you guys have been burning our cities from coast to coast for years now, and you have a long history of terrorism from the White Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, thanks, Democrats, to all your 1960s terrorist groups. And now, yeah, they got Antifa, a terrorist group, radical left-wing terrorist group founded in Germany in the 1930s, now a part of the Democrat Party. So, also, Democrats are doing such a great job. I'll get you the Chicago numbers today, too. But we've got electric vehicles and race stories. Hillary Clinton explains why she wears a pantsuit, but it turns out she's lying again, because that's what she does when she's speaking, you know. Crime and Democrats, but I repeat myself again. And well, I got some Jonestown, you know, Jonestown, the mass suicide at Jonestown. Some remarkable stuff. I watched a documentary over the long weekend on Jonestown. I said, say, wait a minute. A lot of this sounds awfully familiar.
You're listening to Classic Chris, The Chris Plant Show.
You have trouble getting out of bed in the morning? Does it take you 5 minutes to put on your socks? Are aches and pains from getting older slowing you down? Let me tell you about a CBD product that may help. It's called Gen Pop Muscle and Joint Cream, created by my friends at Generic CBD. This cream is amazing. It melts into your knees, elbows, shoulders, and back. You won't believe how fast it goes to work. Plus, it might be the best moisturizer you'll ever use. But don't take my word for it. You can try it for free. Just cover the $5 shipping and handling, and genericcbd.com will send you 2 free samples. Keep one for yourself, give one to a friend, or keep them both. Don't worry, it's not a subscription, and it's satisfaction guaranteed. And if you don't get relief, they'll even refund your $5. How's that for a guarantee? Why not give it a try? Get your 2 free samples at Generic CBD, where you're going to find premium CBD products at generic prices. That's GENERICCBD.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
Patrick McGinnis is actually the guy who first coined the phrase fear of missing out. This reminds me of when you're in the supermarket and you're always worried you're going to pick the slowest line, and inevitably you do.
Part of what helps us to overcome that is a sense of gratitude. Those 3 seconds, if you can just use that time to be appreciative of what you have, you will not be focusing on what you don't have.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.
If you're 19 or older with certain underlying medical conditions such as asthma or diabetes, you can get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia, a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. If you're 65 or older, it is also recommended you get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia. No matter the season, talk to your doctor about vaccination today and learn more at lung.org/protect yourself. A message from the American Lung Association in collaboration with Pfizer.
Furnished by the American Lung Association.
I'll second guest dinners with friends because they can be interrupted by diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or oily stools. It turns out I have EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, which means I'm missing the enzymes needed to digest food. My doctor prescribed Creon pancrelipase, an oral prescription medication that replaces pancreatic digestive enzymes. Creon treats EPI due to cystic fibrosis, chronic pancreatitis, pancreatectomy, or other conditions.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your bowel wall, if you're allergic to pork, or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints. Call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules, as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon.
Creon is the number one prescribed EPI treatment. Ask your doctor about Creon for EPI and visit creoninfo.com or call 800-633-9110 to learn more. That's creoninfo.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
If you're 19 or older with certain underlying medical conditions such as asthma or diabetes, you can get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia, a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. If you're 65 or older, it is also recommended you get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia. No matter the season, talk to your doctor about vaccination today and learn more at lung.org/protect yourself. A message from the American Lung Association in collaboration with Pfizer.
Furnished by the American Lung Association.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
Patrick McGinnis is actually the guy who first coined the phrase fear of missing out. This reminds me of when you're in the supermarket and you're always worried you're going to pick the slowest line, and inevitably you do.
Part of what helps us to overcome that is a sense of gratitude. Those 3 seconds, if you can just use that time to be appreciative of what you have, you will not be focusing on what you don't have.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.
There's a sheriff in Texas that compared the number of fatal drug overdoses under Joe Biden and because of open borders in the United States of America, more than 108,000, more than 108,000 fatal drug overdoses last year. We're expecting a greater number this year. This year, we're expecting a greater number. And that means I went doing a little poking around, a little searching and stuff. And if you look at the atomic bombs dropped on the Japanese cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and you amortize, you look at the it's a nuclear bomb every year in the United States when it comes to fatal drug overdoses. Now, I went to CNN, I went to the Atomic Heritage Foundation at the National Museum of Nuclear Science and History, and they say that the nuclear bombs, August 6th and August 9th of 1945, as any child of six can tell you, United States dropped two atomic bombs, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. First one on Hiroshima, a little boy, uranium gun-type bomb exploded, about 13 kilotons of force at the time of the bombing. And the city of Hiroshima was home to 280,000, 290,000 people. They had more than 40,000 Japanese soldiers in there at the time. And they say between 90,000 and 166,000 people are believed to have died from the bombing of Hiroshima over a four-month period following the explosion. They said over the course of 5 years, the Department of Energy, 5 years following the bomb, day of the bomb, and 5 years after, radiation and all that, there were perhaps 200,000 more fatalities. Now, if you stretch this out over 5 years, fatal drug overdoses in the United States, the number is much larger than Hiroshima. Amortize this over 5 years. And, you know, so that is, and the, where does it come from? Well, the Chinese communists funnel it through the cartels in Mexico to schools near you where everybody dies. And what is Biden doing about that? Huh.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary, you just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicholas & Company, 244-7199.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
This is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim for our new show, Ask Elle, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. starting in September. We'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here Tuesday nights at 6 p.m.
Brought to you by Carlene's and Deja Vu Restaurants.
The Washington Times, with the headline today, pollsters, you know, they take polls. Pollsters seek more accurate election models. Hey, that's a good idea. Why didn't I think of that? They should, more, no, wait a minute. The pollsters want to have more accurate election models. What, because of the influence they have on our political system? Is that the thing? I remember a really hilarious episode. Do you remember this? You might remember this, too. When they told us that Hillary Clinton had a 99.8% chance of winning the presidential election or something like that. All the geniuses at, you know, 531 or, well, you know, Nate Silver and all these people. Yeah, Hillary can't lose. Boy, she's the winner. She's already, you know, picking out the curtains and the plates at the White House because she's the next president of the United States. And then, hilariously, she lost. That was so funny. And President Trump won, and he became president. And then things went really well for 4 years because President Trump's on our side, you see, and Hillary Clinton, not. Barack Obama, not on our side. Joe Biden, too dumb to be on anybody's side. Pollsters seek more accurate election models. Botched analyses show favoritism for Democrats, comma, mistake turnout. No kidding. You think that's the case? I was reading, I was interested in this because at home, before I got my copy of today's Washington Times, I was reading that the pollsters are saying that the Democrats are doing much better leading into the midterms than the pollsters had previously thought. So, all ye who enter, give up all hope, is the pollsters' message to Republican voters, that the Democrats are trending in a positive direction for the midterms, and it looks like, boy, they're going to hold the Senate, and they might hold the House of Representatives, and then they can really wreck the place. They can do more damage than you ever dreamed possible in Joe Biden's second 2 years in his only term as president of the United States. If ABC and the Washington Post were to be believed the day before Election Day 2020, then-candidate Joseph R. Biden was about to wipe the floor with President Trump in Wisconsin. The news outlet's October 28th survey, just a week before voting day, showed the Democrat up by a staggering 17 percentage points. See, now the thing is, that would discourage Republican turnout, wouldn't it? Because if you're in Wisconsin, a key swing state, you know, part of the Bolshevik Wall, or whatever they're calling it, the Berlin Wall, Mr. Biden would win the state, though, by only the barest of margins. 63/100ths of 1 percentage point. ABC and the Post aren't just off base. They were in a different galaxy where Republican voters didn't even seem to exist. Missing Republicans plagued pollsters across the board in surveys ahead of the 2020 election, leading to bungled projections, new round of soul-searching by the industry. They're soulless, godless communists, obviously. There is no soul-searching when you have no soul to search, but that's another thing. So, yeah, the pollsters, here's what the story is really about. The pollsters are corrupt, and they suck at their job. See, that's one of the problems that we have with, it's only one of many problems that we have with the whole process. You know, mostly the problem is that it's become a terrible cable television show, our entire political system. But pay no attention to that. So the Washington Times has the story. It's a good story. And here's the bottom line. Don't believe the polls. Ignore the polls. The polls are corrupt. They favor Democrats. They get everything wrong all the time, and they keep going. They're worse than weathermen. And weather women, you know, who only have to be right about 50% of the time because it's the weather. It's kooky. It changes. But when it comes to polling people, it's supposed to be a science, right? And they have mathematical probabilities and plus or minus 3 percentage points and all this stuff. Very scientific, right? Except it's not. It's toxic because, you know, the left has jumped in and you know how they are. They destroy everything. Absolutely everything. They're anti-science. Just ask them how many genders there are, and you'll see. Lickety-split. Who likes to say lickety-split? That's the thing. But also the front page, the Washington Post today. And this is important stuff. I've got to say, this is very important stuff. Trump gets approval for neutral look at data. Judge's ruling calls for pause of probe. You know how the Democrats love a probe. They love a good probe, especially an ever-expanding probe. They love big probes, big, expanding, powerful, plug-them-into-the-wall probes. They love, you know, you name a probe and they're in favor of it. These are the people. Well, I've got to say, you know, and this is the judge's ruling calls for pause in probe. Front, this is the actual lead story on the front page of the Washington Times today. A federal judge in Florida on Monday, it was a holiday too, granted the request by Donald Trump for a special master. Isn't that racist? Can you still say special master? Because I know the Democrats are very mental when it comes to the use of a lot of words and, you know, they start falling off of bridges and things. No time at all. A special master to review the documents seized from his Mar-a-Lago estate by the Justice Department, marking a major legal victory for the former president. U.S. District Judge Eileen M. Cannon, a Trump appointee, gave the green light for the independent third party, rather than the government, to determine what is privileged material or might be personal items irrelevant to the Justice Department's criminal investigation into the potential mishandling of classified information. Never mind Hillary Clinton's server with all the classified documents. Never mind the Biden family's corruption, Ukraine and China and elsewhere. Never mind any of that. Never mind the laptop and the emails. The court is mindful that restraints on criminal prosecutions are disfavored, but finds that these unprecedented circumstances call for a brief pause to allow for a neutral third-party review to ensure a just process with adequate safeguards, the judge said in her ruling. Now, President Trump's legal team made the request last month. You know, the wheels of justice grind slowly. In fact, more and more slowly all the time, like we're grinding to a halt as a culture. That's where your car, you'd bring it into the shop. Say, we're not going very fast. It won't really go anywhere. But the President Trump team made the request over a month ago for a court-appointed special master after saying the FBI took documents protected under attorney-client privilege and executive privilege and that the agents seized personal belongings. Well, you know, we know that the FBI is pretty corrupt at this point. Delete pretty. We know that the FBI is corrupt at this point. And, you know, it was kind of like looting. They had, yeah, they got a piece of paper from a corrupt magistrate judge. And then the people showed up with AR-15 rifles and body armor and flashing red lights on the street at night and cop cars all over the place and should have had helicopters and, you know, the bomb squad because it was all a big show. It's all a terrible television show. Remarkable stuff. And, okay, I saw the special master yesterday following the news. So that the judge had allowed for the special master to review the corrupt work of the corrupt Justice Department under the corrupt Attorney General Merrick Garland, who thankfully is not a corrupt Supreme Court justice for life. And I saw it and I say, you know what? Yeah, I read about history and things and I remember things. I decided, you know, beyond the special master, I think that what we need is a special counsel. Like, you remember Robert Mueller? Spelled Mueller, pronounced Mueller. Remember Mueller? Special counsel to spend years investigating Trump to find that there was nothing there, but that the Democrats fabricated the whole thing and Hillary Clinton's opposition research they were pretending was intelligence and they were lying. It was an information operation like the communists run. And it was run by the Democrats and the media, but I repeat myself, by the Democrats and the Justice Department, but I repeat myself, the Democrats and the intelligence community, but I repeat myself, because they've all been tampered with and corrupted and cannot be trusted as public institutions. And nobody seems to remember anything, but I try. And in the 1970s, there was a Democrat senator named Frank Church from Idaho. They had uncovered the news. We had something of a news media kind of better than we have now in the 1970s. And they discovered a lot of corruption at the CIA, the National Security Agency, abuses of power. The Central Intelligence Agency, CIA, the NSA, National Security Agency, the FBI, and also at the Internal Revenue Service. So the Congress, the Senate created what was called the Church Committee. The Church Committee. And the Church Committee got to work investigating abuses of power at the CIA, the FBI, the NSA, and, of course, the Internal Revenue Service. The chairman was an Idaho Democrat by the name of Frank Church, Senator Frank Church. And it was part of a number of investigations into intelligence abuses, 1975. They called it the Year of Intelligence. And in the House of Representatives, they had another committee doing the same thing, the Pike Committee. Right? And then the Presidential Commission was created, the Rockefeller Commission. Nelson Rockefeller presided over that. And we have a very, very corrupt government right now. And we've proved that these crooks like Penitentiary Face Brennan, lying all the time, J. Edgar Comey, lying to the FISA courts, and these documents they're providing to the top-secret FISA courts to get warrants to spy on the political enemies of the Democrat Party. The FISA court was lied to again and again and again, four times, four different warrants, to spy on Naval Academy grad Carter Page, great patriot, to spy on, and who got the hooker? I want to know which one of these pimps scared up the hooker, Azra Turk. That's an assumed name, a fake name, that the Democrats ginned up this prostitute in London, right? Michael in London. And she said her name was Azra Turk, and she was trying to have sex with George Papadopoulos, who was working with the Trump campaign. And she offered up, you know, the stuff, the goods, because she was sent in by the FBI or the CIA, either under J. Edgar Comey or under penitentiary face Brennan. Right? And nobody's even tried to scratch the surface on any of this because of the filthy, rotten corruption of the news media of the Democrat Party. And man, oh, man, oh, man. Telling you. That's the thing. Also, you know, penitentiary face Brennan. You know, the just to name one thing that nobody seems to care about. Let me take you back in time to 2014, July 31st, 2014, from the Lamesters at NBC Fake News. And the headline that day was CIA Director Brennan apologized to Senate leaders for computer hack. See, John Brennan, penitentiary face, he voted for the Communist Party candidate for the presidency of the United States in 1980 because he was a communist, which is the only reason that you'd vote for the Communist Party candidate for the presidency of the United States. But the CIA director, penitentiary face Brennan, has privately apologized to Senate Intelligence Committee leaders now that the spy agency's inspector general has found that its employees, CIA employees, did act improperly when searching Senate computers earlier this year. They hacked, the CIA hacked into the Senate Intelligence Committee's computers. That's the committee that's supposed to have oversight and hold the CIA responsible for misdeeds, and they were spying on them under the communist voting penitentiary face John Brennan. And he lied to the Senate and said, no, that didn't happen. Then the CIA's inspector general discovered, no, that did happen, you lying criminal communist. And he went and he quietly, not publicly, apologized to the people in the Senate. And sorry we spied on you. Sorry, intelligence. And we spied on you and we lied to you and we hacked into your computers because we're a gang of radical left-wing criminals who have taken over the Central Intelligence Agency. And that's no big deal. We need another church committee. We need we also need a special counsel like Robert Mueller to investigate our corrupt government. I've lived in Washington, D.C. for more than 30 years, and I've been in the news business and the radio business all that time. I grew up in the news business family, and I've never seen Washington as corrupt as the Washington that we have right now. And we need a special counsel, maybe two. And we need a congressional committee, maybe two, to invest and to call people under oath threaten them with penitentiary time if they lie to the Congress under oath about their many misdeeds, like the Church Committee in 1975. At the FBI, at the CIA, under penitentiary face Brennan and under J. Edgar Comey, just scratching the surface because it goes much deeper than that. And, the Democrat Party. And then, amazing, hey, the pollsters, wait a minute. The botched analysis favors the Democrats in the polls? None of this is hard to believe anymore, but it is a tragedy for humankind when the United States of America, the beacon of liberty and freedom, has been so sullied by corrupt left-wing actors who have wheedled their way deep into the permanent bureaucracy. Disgraceful. And who's going to hold them accountable? Certainly not the Democrats. And it's questionable whether the Republicans are up to the task as well.
You're listening to Classic Chris, The Chris Plant Show.
From pumpkin spice to apple cider, fall is the tastiest time of the year. And HelloFresh makes it deliciously easy to savor all that the season has to offer with mouth-watering recipes delivered to my door. Right now, I can treat myself to gourmet meals and pick up cooking skills along the way with their new limited-time Harvest Dinner Series, complete with easy-to-follow video tutorials. And HelloFresh Market makes hosting your next tailgate or party easier than ever with fall flavors, a rotating panoply of fall-inspired brunch kits, dessert boards, and more.
available for a limited time this season. With more than 35 weekly recipes to choose from and ingredients delivered right to my home, HelloFresh helps spice up my cooking with fewer trips to the store. And it even saves a lot of money. HelloFresh is much cheaper than the grocery store and 25% cheaper than takeout. Sign up today for 65% off plus free shipping with code PLANT65. HelloFresh.com/PLANT65. That's code PLANT65 at HelloFresh.com/PLANT65.
Employee onboarding?
Automated.
Customer support?
Automated.
What if you could automate all your company's routine operation tasks and do it easily?
Lead management.
Automated.
With Zapier, you can. Zapier is the leader in no-code automation. Connect over 5,000 apps, automate almost any workflow, and streamline your team's performance without hiring a developer and with no coding required. That's right. Zapier's templates make it simple for you to automate anything in minutes, no matter your level of expertise. Zapier eliminates routine tasks and frees your employees to focus on the bigger picture. And with Zapier's advanced security features and annual SOC 2 audits, your data is safe and secure. See why thousands of companies, including Slack, Salesforce, and HubSpot, trust Zapier to automate their businesses.
Even complex tasks?
Automated with Zapier.
Try Zapier for free today at zapier.com/radio. That's zapier.com/radio. Zapier.com/radio.
If you're 19 or older with certain underlying medical conditions such as asthma or diabetes, you can get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia, a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. If you're 65 or older, it is also recommended you get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia. No matter the season, talk to your doctor about vaccination today and learn more at lung.org/protect yourself. A message from the American Lung Association in collaboration with Pfizer.
Furnished by the American Lung Association.
We tried Dynavite Nutritional Supplement, and after a couple of weeks, we noticed a big difference. Our little Gizmo's coat was shinier, and there was a lot less scratching and shedding.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
Patrick McGinnis is actually the guy who first coined the phrase fear of missing out. This reminds me of when you're in the supermarket and you're always worried you're going to pick the slowest line and inevitably you do.
Part of what helps us to overcome that is a sense of gratitude. Those 3 seconds, if you can just use that time to be appreciative of what you have, you will not be focusing on what you don't have.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Susan, I'm sorry I'm late. Traffic is terrible.
It sure is. But on top of that, gas prices have been skyrocketing. I can't believe how expensive gas has gotten recently.
Prices at the pump are up, but I never pay full price for gas anymore. I just use the free Upside app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes, I get real cash back every time I buy gas.
And does that actually add up to anything?
I've made around $200.
Wow. Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code BTS for an extra 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill-up. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, to PayPal, or any gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code BTS for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code BTS for 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill-up.
Right now, let's go to the telephones, Michael. We are at 888-630-9625. Pollsters seek more accurate election models. The headline in the Washington Times today. Botched analysis shows favoritism for Democrats, comma, mistake turnout. Surprise, surprise. Let's go to Terry calling from Springfield, Virginia. Terry, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, good morning, Chris.
Hey, Terry.
Hey, I was wondering what your take would be on the notion that this whole pollster thing, they're kind of laying the groundwork for all the voting shenanigans with IDs and drop boxes, et cetera, for them to play their games and at the end of the day say, see, we told you, this is what the poll said.
Well, I got to tell
you that Democrats are going to have a leg up.
Again, you saw the polls. You may have seen the headlines of the stories today and yesterday that, oh, Democrats are suddenly doing better in the polls. And this Washington Times story points out quite correctly that all of their botched analysis somehow shows favoritism for Democrats. What a shock. Now, here's the thing. What do you think? Do you trust and believe the polls, Terry?
Not even for a minute.
Right.
I mean, I don't even pay attention.
Right.
It's just one of those kind of things. It's just vomiting points out onto the public square for the sake of taking up airspace, I guess.
Well, and it's part of the corruption. It honestly is. And again, it favors the Democrats. If you say that in Wisconsin, as ABC and the Washington Post did in 2020, that Joe Biden was going to win by 17 percentage points, then why would Republicans even show up on Election Day, right?
Oh, right, right. I get that take as well.
Yeah. So
running interference with a Democrat.
If you're a conservative, if you're if you tend to vote Republican, or if this year you're voting Republican for the first time ever, which is going to be true of a great many people this year, know that you're being lied to by these organizations and these institutions because they're run by and they look like normal people, but they're not. They dress like normal people. They have normal haircuts and. They seem to speak very well, but those are their qualities. The Democrats like them because they lie all the time.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.